All right, I gotta go.
Cast intros.
Cast intros. This is what we want
to
hear.
All right, we have
okay,
to
all right,
we're
gonna
decide.
We're gonna
watch the cheers for Kevin and I, but Jerry's big roar.
Okay,
Jerry gets a big.
So Jerry gets the big roar.
Yeah.
All right,
go down here.
Okay.
And Mike, there is Jerry Stiller right there. He's the one cast member we've not spoken to.
Close the door, baby.
Close the door, Robbie.
All right,
here we go.
Listen to the big cheer that Kevin gets. I mean, that Jerry gets.
I just
Jerry.
Saw.
We're gonna go down to the other side,
Kevin. Not too homo, just kissed Jerry Stiller. You just kissed Jerry Stiller. Yes.
Remember for the cheer. Hear the cheer.
She told us that Jerry gets the biggest cheer.
Yeah. Well, we have to go over to get their intros. We have to go down.
Okay, we got
to
walk this way to hear you guys. Okay.
No, we got
to
go quick.
Here we go. All right. Okay. Here we go. This is the exciting moment. Right now.
Come on.
All right. Okay.
Come on.
We're going as fast as we can. This is the fastest I've ever seen you move in your life.
I want to see this.
Oh, hold on. We almost knocked over a light. All right. Let's see. Who are they introducing now? Oh, it's Spence.
Spence. Larry Romano.
Hey, listen to this music they play.
They've all been introduced now,
except,
and we are down on the set.
Except us.
Yes, that's right. We will not be introduced. Now we have to go back over to our spot.
Yes, now it's time for us to go to our special set. It's time for us to go to our special area. We will be in the second scene of the show, and at this point, it pains me very much. We are actually, Mike, going to turn the show over to Rob and Charlie.
They will be doing the play-by-play for our scene behind the scenes at the King of Queens.
All right, so now let's turn it over to, and incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, this would be the situation if, in fact, there ever is that plane crash.
Which we may be involved in because we're all flying separately, so this will be the show, the Rob and Charlie show.
That's why you're prohibited from flying together. We have to fly separately.
Let's welcome your hosts, Rob Spiewak and Charles Loring Broyhill.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Take it away, guys.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Rob.
Oh, boy, this has been something, hasn't it?
It's great.
Is it time to break?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, I think we're going to break, and when we come back, we'll have Don and Mike taping live at the King of Queens at Sony Studios. We will be right back.
And we're back live on tape at Sony Picture Studios on the set of the King of Queens. Don and Mike are just about to do their scene. The scene has just begun. It is a scene in Cooper's Bar. Kevin James is sitting at a booth with Larry Romano, who we had on the show earlier today, and they're arguing about where Spence is. Don and Mike are just behind them at a table. Don and Mike are talking. You can hear some of the audio going on. I can see Don Geronimo at this point. He's wearing a Jets jersey. That would be Keyshawn Johnson, Rob. Thank you, Charlie. Kevin James is talking at the booth with Larry Romano.
Where have you been?
Now there's a clear shot of Mike O'Mara as Spence enters the scene. Spence sits down at the booth. Mike is taking a sip. Did Mike just spit on Don? It's hard to say. This also introduces the second conflict of plot. Spence about to move in with Kevin and Leah. They're still arguing. Don and Mike not in this shot, but they're about to be in the next wide shot. Let's listen to some of the dialogue. Don and Mike in that shot. They're they're talking to each other. They're about to act. There's Mike O'Mara, a nice lingering shot.
Don't worry about him, are you? He's just in a bad mood. By the way, we're not on a date. Sit over there.
Mike taking a sip of that beer. We have to find out if that's real beer or fake beer. Mike requested real beer, I know. Mike's still in the background. What do you think they're talking about? Probably good, clean American fun. And massage. Perhaps from Warren. Roberta, Charlie. Her name was Roberta. There's Mike. I'm sorry. There's Don in his Jets jersey. He's easy to spot.
I might just do that.
And the Cooper set is actually much smaller than it appears on television. There's only two booths and one table. Don and Mike are at the table. You can just see Don's sleeve.
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Frankly, Charlie, I'm very impressed with their technique. You? They seem like they've been there before. Yeah, they're born to play this thing.
Their experience on Babylon 5 is suiting them well.
I see a lot of Briscoe County Jr. coming through on this. If you're just joining us, we are on set at the King of Queens as Don and Mike are taping their scene in Cooper's restaurant. There's Don Geronimo.
I wonder if they're going to try to strike up a conversation with Kevin during this.
It's really hard to say what kind of ad-lib. There's the cut. Let's go over and see how Don and Mike think they did.
Okay.
You hear the applause? You know that's for Don and Mike. Heading over to the set. I think they did a great job. Going over to the Cooper set. They have a glow about them. I think they're pleased with what they did. Shooting down the okay sign. Looks like they are too busy. Very good. They're now going on set. Excuse me. How do you think you did?
Well, we don't know. How did it look?
It looked great. Charlie saw a lot of Babylon 5. I saw a lot of Briscoe County Jr. coming through.
Very good.
You got a lot of camera time.
Fantastic.
Who got a lot of camera time?
Both of you. It was a pretty even split.
We're very excited about that.
We were adding a lot to the scene, and I would also like to point out, are we doing this scene again?
I believe we are.
They are giving us real beer.
We're very excited about that.
This was a question we had. Charlie was curious, what were you talking about?
We were lip syncing, Rob. That's what acting is. When you're background players, you lip sync. But we were talking about sex while we were lip syncing.
Putting on the hits.
Yeah.
And we were all
destroying my reality, guys. If you could seriously, I'm serious. I gotta stay in character.
That's Pat and that's Spence, of course, from the show. And we were destroying his reality.
Yeah. Our question. We were given only one direction. That at one point when Larry gets up and says something, we are supposed to react.
Did we react? I think you underplayed it. I would like to see you go real broad on this one.
Okay. All right.
Think Keystone Cops. Think
right,
Little Rascals.
Rob, how do you think it's going so far?
Personally, I'm entertained.
Very good.
All right. Remember, we're drinking real beer. I tell you what. Why don't you just go stick a mic in Kevin's face and ask him how he thought we did on that?
You got it.
Very good. Thanks.
Going over to Kevin James. Thank you, guys. Kevin, how do you think Don and Mike did?
I thought they pushed a little bit. I thought they. Yeah, I think they were trying a little hard there. I think I actually saw Mike flex a little, his ass cheeks, and that reads on camera.
You want to stay away from that or more of that?
During the taping, stay away from it. Later on in my dressing room, I
a lot more.
A lot more.
You got it. He says overplay it, guys. Big, big is big. Exactly. All right, getting ready for take two. Good feedback from the star there, Charlie. Okay, we're back to our monitoring position in the bleachers. Backstage at Sony Television Studios, Hollywood, California. They are rolling right now, ready for the command of action. You can hear the director calling in the background. Ready for take two of scene B, as in Baker.
Mark. Hello, Mark.
A nervous hush. Show business.
Set. And. Background. Practice.
When they say. same background, that's when Don and Mike start to pretend to talk. The establishing shot of the scene is a great shot of both Don and Mike. Very easy to spot them.
I'm going to die.
The crowd seems to be just as pleased with the scene the second time through. And since Don and Mike are drinking real beer, I think we're about to see some real exciting theatrics. Mike O'Mara, dead center screen right now. He's wearing a brown or a tan jacket from Pinehurst Country Club.
Oh, my mommy needs me to drive her, to cut up a meal for her, to draw a freaking eyebrow on her.
We're gearing up to the portion where Don and Mike really have to act, and they said they were going to play it broader this time. I think it's an exciting moment.
You know what, Spencer? Uncle Soup is ringing your mother's bell right now. And now her daughter, I met Mike.
Once again, Mike O'Mara underplayed it. Rolling with the scene, though, I think he's going to be pleased with the result.
You think I'm a wuss? It's obvious, man. You don't want to move out. Hey, you do. No, you know what someone who wants to move out says? They say, I want to move out right now.
The scene seems to have a lot of good momentum the second time through. And I think you can thank two reasons for that. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Ruin the Thanksgiving weekend. My life back tonight.
The scene is nearing completion. Uh-oh. They had to cut early there because of a because Kevin James broke up. I'm curious to think how Larry Romano thought that scene went. I can't see how he would not be happy. Your thoughts, Charlotte? Well, I agree. Thank you, Charlie. What did you think of their performance?
I am very impressed with their performance, and I'm also impressed with all the airtime they're getting. They're professionals. They have done the job.
Kevin thought they overdid it.
Kevin doesn't understand comedy. Okay? Do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Don and Mike stole the scene. They stole, what they did, those little bastards, is they came in here and they underplayed it and they stole the scene. You see what I'm saying?
You're saying they stole the scene, basically.
These little bastards stole the scene. I am so damn proud of them.
Let me go relay that.
Okay.
Let's go tell Don and Mike that Leah thinks they stole the scene. Incredible feedback. Incredible feedback from Leah Remini. You stole the scene. How do you feel about that?
Rob, I'm a little emotional right now. If we stole the scene, I'm very excited.
Frankly, I don't know why we have to do this a third time. I don't know if I have a third take in me.
You know, Sinatra only did one take. Don informed me that during that last take, I had a crumb of onion ring in my mustache. I'm petrified now if that happened.
I think that, you know, you guys were perfect, but you got to, you know, cut a little slack to the other people in the scene.
Yes, the other actors who can't hit their marks
exactly
as well as we can. Pat, are you the reason we're redoing this scene again?
Don, what's a sound you hate? What's your favorite curse word? What turns you on? When you get to heaven, what do you hope God will say to you?
Why do you ask?
You did a film, Electric Boogaloo 2, a personal favorite of mine. In the hospital scene, when you pop and lock in the ICU, what was the sense memory you accessed?
I have no idea. Anybody know what the frig he's talking about?
I believe it's inside the actor's studio.
Do you remember when Leah was talking about Pat and that he's very smart and he floats in a world above us all? That was a classic example, ladies and gentlemen. For all of you listening right now that might not have understood that, please understand that's what it is. Thank you.
Perhaps we'll understand at a later date. Third take, your thoughts?
Third take, frankly,
unnecessary. Sinatra only did one take.
And frankly, I think the reason we're doing the third take is the girl that was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and Ellen DeGeneres.
You know what? I'd like a thought from Mr. Larry Romano on this. Larry, I know you're getting your makeup done, but I'd like if I just borrow one moment of your time. How do you feel about the third take?
I love the third take.
Is it your favorite?
It's not as my favorite as the fourth, but I never get a fourth take.
They always say the third time's the charm. Is that at play here?
I don't know. Like I said, I like four. Like in four balls, you get a walk. three you strike out, you know? I don't know.
Right.
So I'm going with the walk.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, did they overplay it? Did they underplay it? Or were they, as many other feel, right on the money?
They were good. They really know how to drink a beer. Those guys are really good. I mean, it looks like they're really drinking a beer.
Well, their motivation is they want a beer. And so when they have the beer,
right,
it looks great.
They're at home.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
going to
nominate those guys for what, I don't know, but
they've already been nominated. All right, they're about to do take four. Three, rather. Pardon me. Or as Pat Summerall would say, beg your pardon. So we're back to our secret place. Nervous, tittering, as they prepare for take three. I see good things coming. That buzzer means quiet on the set. You actually hear the slate before the camera, the thing that says take three. Don and Mike in plain sight again. Interesting that every time there's been a different joke on that line. I believe they're having to start the takeover because Charlie Broyhill was talking too much. Charlie, do you want to say you're sorry? Invite me, Ralph. Thank you, partner. This is technically take four, the one Larry Romano was looking forward to. Going for five, Ralph. Big five. Another joke. And the crowd embraces the joke. A lot of momentum on this scene. I can read the momentum in Charlie Broyhill's eyes. Seems transfixed. Mike O'Mara, dead center again.
I need to drive my mom.
Gearing up once again for Don and Mike's big moment where they actually have an acting direction. They have to overplay this.
Because Lori told his word that he's 32 years old, not 8. You want to forget it? Not forget it. Back to the firehouse. You know what, Ben? I hope the soup is ringing your mother's bell right now. Not the doorbell. I meant like he's ringing.
I know it.
Dead on by Mike O'Mara. Dead on. I believe that's what the director was looking for. Charlie, I don't want to jinx it, but don't you feel the momentum on this is strong?
Very strong.
Very strong. We like that one. That might be the keeper. You'll know shortly. Leah, how did you like that one?
That was great. And I noticed that Mike, when Larry Romano starts yelling, getting loud in the restaurant, Mike was like, hey, he looked at him like he was...
He took the direction well.
Did you notice that? He was like, hey, why is that guy yelling?
Yeah, he flirted with that in takes one through three, but it was take five.
A lot of atmosphere. They don't actually take the time because they know that they're atmosphere, so they don't usually react. But Mike, that bastard, he's so good.
Well, he took direction on that. He was instructed to... I think he was dead on. All right, let's go get the reaction from the atmosphere themselves. Let's see, there's a myriad of cameras, wires. Even though the scene is over, Don's still in character and drinking that beer. Scene's over. You don't need to drink that beer anymore.
Rob, we still have another scene coming up. I would like to introduce one of the other players in the show. Oh, hold on, please.
Are you an L? And you're an L? Even if you guys weren't an L, Connie?
Oh, we need to change, right?
Yeah.
We have a costume change coming up.
It's time for a costume change.
Oh, no, hey, the extra...
How was it? Chris, did we do well? Chris says we did well.
the extra who was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and Ellen DeGeneres.
Where did she go? She's vanished.
Did she just run away?
She's vanished.
Is that her over there?
No, that's not her.
No, that is her. Yeah, no, I wanted to finish talking to her.
Interview.
Hey, now don't hide from us. Come here. You were so nice. You were so nice. A lovely. Give a fake name. Why would you give a fake name? You're on national radio.
How is that?
All right, now you are. Would you describe yourself as a career extra? Is that what you are?
Oh gosh, I hope not.
How many shows have you done this type of thing, background extra work on? How many shows have you been on?
I've been on shows for like a long time. Like I was on one show for 7 years, and
like with a speaking part or like background stuff.
Speaking around and background.
Oh really?
What was that show?
That would be Seinfeld.
Now, oh, you remember that this is the gal that was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and hit on by Ellen DeGeneres.
That's a, you know, cross-gender hitting on. Who hit on you better, Seinfeld or DeGeneres?
Oh, definitely Seinfeld.
Seinfeld did a better job?
Yeah.
Ellen was more subtle, was, you know, too awkward?
No.
Jerry was the gentleman.
Oh, really?
And no offense, we realize you've been on television, certainly, years longer than we have, but you're the reason we had to do that scene over four times.
Well, it could be. I felt the first one was a little weak, but I heard a lot of talking going on at the table next to me, a little...
Do you think where we were sitting?
Do you think we were talking too loud, really?
Nearby. You could say the actors, I could say you. And it, you know, I'm just saying.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But overall, how would you rate, being the fact that we are rookies at this type of thing? Well, of course, aside from our work on Babylon 5 and Briscoe County Jr.
That is so
don't
funny.
Laugh, that's really our resume, honey.
That's our resume.
That's our real resume.
So, you know, aside from those two, how would you rate our performance?
You guys did great.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Another thumbs up.
Thank you.
As God did you. Pleasure meeting you.
Do you want to give us your real name?
Resemblance to John Cleese.
Really, John Cleese?
No.
There's another one. There's one to add to Brian Keats and Brian Dennehy.
That's good. Now it's John Cleese.
Look him in the
eye. Really? Thank you very much. I am warmed. I am warmed by your compliment. Do you want to give us your real name before we go?
Sure, Peggy.
Peggy, thank you so
much.
Hey,
Peggy.
For that
thank you, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy. Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Cleese, it was a you bastard. It was a highly successful appearance. We have to now go get changed. A four goddamn take.
Oh, I tell you, it was unnecessary. But
five. It was five.
There was two false starts because Kevin tripped his joke twice.
You know, when you're working with people that
amateurs
aren't the level of professionals that we are. That's what happens, Charlie.
Oh my.
The question I have for both Rob and Charlie, who saw it, Mike and I, our big chance to act was when Spence says something and Larry gets pissed off and walks away.
We're supposed to react. Did we do a good job?
Did we react?
Actually, in that scene, on at least one of the takes, only Mike was in it. And I think on the last...
God damn it. That's it. I've spilled my Diet Coke.
Oh, dear.
But who gets the onstage cross in the next scene?
Don does.
That's right.
Don does.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Wouldn't I know it?
Do
wouldn't
you remember?
It be just the luck?
Do you remember? Oops. Oh, we have to be quiet now.
Okay,
we have to break.
Okay.
We have to break.
Great. I my best acting. Edited out. Typical story of my life.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we'll be back with more.
Well, get me another apartment, son. I don't really give a Yeah, that's right. That's what you're going to be doing Sunday when we go to Seattle. You'll be watching the game in New York on TV.
We'll make the bet up straight.
God damn it.
Never take you
the Don and Mike Show.
Well, we understand that the timeline of the show goes, as it turns out, our final bit that we're going to have to play today on a radio show will be our final scene tonight on Scene.
This is Scene L, and we are about to go and be extras once again behind the scenes in Cooper's Bar.
And incidentally,
the King of Queens.
Incidentally, this is where I will have my most challenging performance.
This is a real physical. It's a physical role for you, and I know that's a challenge, but I know you're going to do very well.
I will actually be walking across the set, and I think you'll notice for this, I've changed my look. I've taken my contacts out.
And you've put glasses.
And I've gone to my glasses.
You look like a different... You look like a different person. You truly do.
Now, Mike, I would like to... Yes, we changed shirts also.
Yes.
I would like to introduce the young lady who's going to help me because I'm so freaking stupid not to know when to walk across the set.
What is your name?
Hey, y'all. My name's Karen.
Karen, and you'll be cueing Don on when to walk across the set?
Yeah, I'll be giving him a nod. And
yeah, are you an experienced person in these ways of being, you know, this scenery that we all are?
Oh, yeah, I'm an experienced nodder, yes.
Okay, so I look at you, and when you nod, I walk across and sit across from my friend Mike.
You'll be great. Don't be nervous.
Okay. I have no doubt I will.
It's another challenge. It's another mountain to climb.
All right. Now that I know my motivation.
Yes.
I'm set.
I'm prepared. I know you got a lot more work to do in this scene. All I have to do is sit.
Now, Mike, I will tell you that once again in the scene that features, I believe, Kevin.
It's a real beer, which is very exciting.
Kevin's sitting here with, who does he sit here with?
I have no idea, Don. To be honest with you, I'm simply finding my motivation. And I'm trying to motivate myself for this scene. So I'm really not focusing on the other performers. And you know something? You got a lot of work to do. I wouldn't focus on the other performers either.
Guys, would there be a chance that Mike and I could get some more real beers for this thing?
Anytime you want.
Fantastic. I'll be sitting over there.
Because these guys were nice enough to hook us up when we did our last scene.
I really think the real beer.
They kept bringing us real beer.
Don't you think the real beer is the key to the success of this fantastic show? Okay.
All right, let's be ready when they get here, guys.
Rob, we're turning it over to you now.
All right. Hello, Charlie. And I pass it over to Charlie Broyhill. And once again, guys, after the scene, directly after the scene, if you could go to Kevin or whoever's here to get the reaction.
Very exciting. Don, I wish you break a leg.
Now, again, let me just run through this. She will cue me when it is time.
And I will be simply sitting with no dialogue. Watch how I play this scene.
Don?
Yes, Robbie.
For me, if you would, when you do your first cross,
yes,
play it broad.
Would it be out of line if I tripped and fell?
I think you just want to skip.
How about a Chevy Chase pratfall?
That's what I just said to these guys. How about if I fall?
Do you think it's asking too much for a real fall? Maybe fall right across their table.
Hey, Mike, and our favorite guy just brought you another Foster's.
Well, it looks like it's time for me to get to the set. And
I'm rehearsed.
We're going to see what's going to happen. I'm really excited about this scene. I mean, the first scene was okay, but this is where we're really going to shine.
This is the real action time for me.
Right. How many takes do you predict?
This is, okay, excuse me, everybody. This is my big break. Give me a moment. Goodbye.
Break a leg, Don.
Okay, background energy.
All right, cool.
Don, I mean, sorry, Charlie. Yes? I don't know, but I think you could only describe the atmosphere as electric. Okay. Thank you once again for your support. Sorry. Getting back to the bleachers as they gear up for scene L at Cooper's. If you're just joining us, we're broadcasting live on tape from the Sony Pictures Studios in Hollywood, California. Don and Mike are about to shoot their second scene. This is exciting because this is the scene where Don actually has a stage direction. He crosses stage left to the booth where Mike is drinking real beer. Charlie, I'm not familiar with the scene because I did not see rehearsals. Can you add anything?
I didn't see any of the rehearsals for this scene either.
So, no, I can't. I'm looking forward to watching them.
Good.
Of course, we will we'll also try and let you hear some of the dialogue. They are rolling, awaiting the call for action. Perhaps a minor glitch as we wait the call of action from the director. I think Don is looking for some more motivation. Or Mike is looking for some more beer. Take one. And they're off and running. There's Don Geronimo crossing stage left. Mike O'Mara, he greets Mike O'Mara and sits down. A great shot of Don's bald spot. He will be so excited that you pointed that out. I think perhaps hair and makeup might have wanted to look into that.
He did not paint it.
Before I just shot, that could use a little powder, maybe a little bit of foundation. It's a short scene, and that's it. And once again, that's the scene between Kevin and Larry Romano in Cooper's Bar. Let's go see how Kevin thought it went. I think they nailed it. Charlie, how about you?
Oh, definitely.
Thank you.
Sure.
We're getting ready to go. Jeff Sussman, manager.
Oh, Kevin James, how do you think Don and Mike did in that scene?
I thought they were incredible.
I mean, really, do you think they ever played
it? I'll tell you, they really have a future.
Don's cross when he walked stage left. How did you think of that?
Unbelievable. Now, which guys were Don and Mike?
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your hospitality. Let's get Don and Mike's reaction. Larry. Did you see Don walk across the stage?
He was good, man. This guy is on. I tell you, it must be his day.
You can't see it because you're facing the other way. Right. Did you see in the monitor Don's bald spot?
Yeah, you know what? Even that was hitting the light in the right angle. This freaking guy's on fire. I don't know what we're going to do with him. You better take him back to D.C. He's going to take all our jobs.
That spot is on the mark.
It's on the mark.
Get him out of here. Brian.
Don. Great job on the cross. You'll be pleased to know that hair and makeup did not cover your bald spot, and that's in a good hunk of the scene.
Jesus Christ, I cannot win, can I? But what about when I walked out? It's not like my bald spot was facing the TV when I walked out, right?
No, but whenever they have the medium shot on Larry Romano directly behind you, there's that nice spot looking right back at the camera.
Rob, more important than the bald spot, was my face on camera?
Yes, it was. It was.
Encouraged to call the Don and Mike Show at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. Call us and get into it.
You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention. Please.
The writing is delicious.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Made it back.
Yep. Welcome back, guys.
Yeah.
Question is, when does my bald spot get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
<I'll see. laughs> Good afternoon, Mr.
I know why you paused.
I'm waiting for Phil.
I know, my apologies.
Bill?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Phil. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Earthquake and all the ships at sea. After a busy Monday of picking up a collection for Coach Ditka's fine, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, you know that thing about him not dropping the M-bomb and not cussing anymore? I guess that's worn off.
Yeah, you knew it would, and it just happened a little sooner than we expected.
Well, hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast, still nationwide, still via Best Food Bun, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. That's why every day we assist you calling your cotton picket Don and Mike Show.
This show is 7.5. I'm on the Richter scale.
Let me just say right now, Ken, Jeremy, Big Daddy, Mello, Donald Ephraim. Chain of command. Word of advice for all of you soccer moms. I hope by now you're taking Junior and listening them away to the back of the minivan, for I have just whipped this thing out.
Look at that. It's sunglasses.
It's all Hollywood, Mike.
It is.
All Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Hollywood. And on the perfectly executed open this big time major market radio show, Arbitron rated strong. Strong as bull.
Oh, yeah.
With 5 million national listeners, and we do thank you for your patronage.
We do indeed.
We humbly thank you for listening to this show every day. Here he is, to my left and to your right. Once again, we lost him in the luggage carousel.
Yeah, he every time he gets on that thing, you know, he's gone for days.
I don't know what happens. There was our friend, Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Or as we like calling him now, Mr. Four-Day Weekend.
Yeah.
There he is. Whenever we travel,
sure.
There's the chance that the news won't be a part of the show.
Right. He goes down to that retreat he has in the Cayman Islands.
And does some swapping.
Yeah, some friends.
Well, hello, Buzz, and hello, everybody. Yes, indeed, we made it back live.
Yes.
Alive, rather, from L.A.
Really? And, you know, we were involved in that big news story that you heard about.
Yes. Oh, and we will be getting to our experiences in the earthquake because we were there firsthand for it. But let me just bring you up to speed on stuff that happened after the show was over on Friday, after the radio show was over.
Please. Right.
You know, I thought that we would have the tape of us being introduced with the cast, but guess what happened? The tape ran out.
Ah, so we didn't get... You know, we were kind of awkward there anyway, so it's not that big a deal, because we were getting a curtain call in front of a live studio audience at King of Queens, and we were talking, you know, into one microphone as we did it. It was kind of slapped together at the last second. They came out of nowhere and said, you're going to get a curtain call, and then we, you know, had to grab the tape recorder.
They brought us out first. What was so funny was that Kevin James and Leah Remini came up and said, listen, we do a curtain call after we get done filming the show.
Right.
Tonight, you guys are going to come out first.
Right.
And we said, oh, this is a great treat. Thank you.
Very exciting.
So we're standing backstage waiting the directors, waiting to give us the cue to come out. They're going to say, and here's your cast from the show. We're going to be the first ones introduced.
Yeah, they do it like, you know, live theater.
Well, there's this other couple of actors, a guy and a girl, who play Kevin and Leah's friends on this episode.
Yeah, they're the character actors that were hired for the one episode, right?
And they actually had lines in the show, and they were part of the plot.
Right.
Well, they came to this little backstage area, and Mike and I are standing there because we've been told we're going out first.
Mm-hmm. They were not happy.
We're standing there with that guy, Spence. His name is Pat.
Right. Great guy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got an HBO show coming out soon that we're going to be talking about, I guess.
Cool.
He's got like one of those half-hour HBO shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing back there talking to him, and these two actors, these other people, they come back and they physically start to push Mike and me away. They go, excuse me, you have to back up because we're going to be called out.
Right. This is when the assistant director had put us basically in the spot where we were going to walk out and get a curtain call. We didn't know it was coming. We didn't ask for it. We were thrilled. We thought it was so cool. We didn't have any speaking parts, and they're going to bring us out like we're real cast members. We were excited.
So these two actors instead of that, it physically take Mike at that point. I think you were sitting in the chair.
Yeah, sitting in the chair, and you were standing up in front of me. And I was kind of like looking at your butt.
And they almost pushed me into your lap.
I didn't see that when they were in back of you.
Yeah, the guy
came right in that little hole where we were supposed to go out through the door.
The guy came around this corner. He says, "Hey, excuse me."
Was that the guy? The guy really was just a ween. He didn't like sharing the spotlight at all. He's the one that said, "Move over here, dude."
Yeah. So he says that. He says, "Move over here, dude." He kind of pushes me out of the way. Right. Then, great moment. The director comes up and grabs him by the arm and says, "Excuse me. These guys are going out first."
Right.
And he
right.
takes this actor and his actress wife, the lady who played his wife on the show.
She was fine. She was very cool.
Yeah. Good. They took them to the back of the line. So they get done with the show. And I wish we had this on tape. As it turns out, the tape recorder ran out of tape.
Right.
But the guy that does the world goes, "Okay, it was a great episode. Let's welcome your King of Queens cast. Here they are. Don and Mike." And we come running out.
We're good at that. We can make entrances. You know, we like doing that. We go out and take the big old bow.
And then did you notice that when the guy that tried to push us out of the way,
right,
when he was introduced, when we were standing out on stage,
yes,
when he came out, he actually pushed us again.
Well, that's the one I said it. That's when he said, "Move over, dude." That's when he said, and he said it, you know, when somebody calls you dude,
right,
and not the most flattering way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he said it to me. That's the first time he said, "Hey, move over here, dude."
Because there was a
like, you know, "Hey, Mr. Novice, you don't know." Well, no, I didn't know where to stand. I didn't know where to go.
There was a spot on the floor that apparently they had told us we should go stand at, like a piece of red tape on the floor.
Which didn't really make sense to me because the cameras were off, correct?
Right.
They weren't filming it, were they?
Right, which is why, frankly, we didn't. We just stood right in the middle of the stage.
Yeah, we said, why? Yeah, you just go out there and you're taking a bow. You know,
right.
It's like one of our Las Vegas styles.
we get done with that, and that was great fun. And
they couldn't have been. I mean, the fact that they did that, you know, the production people and the director, and they let us do that was beyond, way beyond what we expected, and we thank them for that.
The episode will air on Monday, November 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely cannot miss us. We're in two scenes. The one scene we're in for 3 or 4 minutes, and the other one we're on for about 30 seconds.
And this is where you come in, our listeners, because you see, with all of this, we finally figured out the reason they're doing all this. They believe that we are responsible for getting them big ratings, so we want to call on all our listeners to make sure.
Yeah, you got to watch that episode.
I mean, you got to. It's real, and you got to tell your friends and your friends' friends to watch this. We have to make this the highest rated episode.
Well, we got a couple of weeks to work on the hype.
Sure,
of
course.
And then I hope everybody was able to get an insight into what it's like to make a television show.
Absolutely.
We did. I bet for most of the show yesterday, we sounded like two chickens running around with their heads cut off. But
I think one of the guys here, Timmy Obibene, the Nigerian Nightmare, was telling us that he really got a feel for what it's like to be backstage at a television show, and that's what we were shooting for.
We didn't get that feeling. So when we got done with the show, at that point, they're going to have a cast party. They're going to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got done with the show, it's very late.
Mm-hmm.
For our time, it's like midnight our time.
Yep.
And here's a shock for you. Mike says he doesn't want to go out. Well, it was late, and it was an awkward moment, and I just felt as though it was time to move on, and I was. I mean, that was a long day. That day started at 6 o'clock in the morning, here on the East Coast, and it ended at 10 o'clock at night, California time, and it was just a, long day running around.
So they said, why don't you guys come out with us?
Mm-hmm. And then Mike said, no, he would feel awkward, and Rob was tired, and Charlie was tired.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up getting in a cab and leaving, and mm-hmm. me, because, I'm the celebrity jock sniffer.
Right.
As long as they're going to invite me,
mm-hmm.
hell, I'm going to go.
Right. Sure.
So I'm waiting around with Leah and her mother and Leah's hairdresser.
Oh, boy.
And then, before we leave, I got to tell you this. Throughout the whole show, we had avoided Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
Kind of on purpose, because he's like in a ritual before they tape the show.
Yeah, he's
pretty focused on what he's doing.
So right as we're walking out, Leah says to me, I'm walking out the door to go to this party as myself and Kevin James and Leah Remini, your mother. And Leah says, oh, come here, I want to introduce you to Jerry. And I said, no, you know what? I mean, I got to see him and everything. Really, that's okay. She says, no, come meet him. Kevin James says, no, listen, let's just keep going.
Right.
She says, no. She brings me over to his dressing room. She says, Jerry, I want you to meet a friend of mine. This is Don from the Don and Mike Show. Mm-hmm. They're the disc jockeys. We're here taping today.
Mm-hmm.
He looks me right in the eye, Jerry Stiller. He shakes my hand and he goes, nice to meet you. So are you? You related to Kevin?
And I
just kind of looked, and Kevin said, yeah, that's right, Jerry. He's related to me. Well, we'll see you later.
Oh, that's terrific.
So we get out of there. Then we're driving all over Hollywood to try to go to this restaurant where they're going to have the party at.
Right.
We get there, and it's all the people from the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm really feeling at this point like the odd man out.
Right. Sure.
Because it's in a restaurant, but they have a whole back of the restaurant that they've roped off. And they have those big couches, like used to be on Playboy After Dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The couches that go like across one corner of the room.
Yeah, so everybody can get intimate.
Yeah, so everybody's like talking to each other, but I'm just sitting on this part of the couch by myself.
Right.
Drinking. I was drinking very heavily at this point. And Leah was trying to be polite and talking to me, but every time she would start to talk to me, someone else would talk to her, so she would talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there, and at the moment I was thinking, you know what? It was a mistake for me to come.
Right.
I did overstay the welcome.
Right.
In walks Kevin James with his Asian girlfriend,
right,
and a couple of other chicks,
uh-huh,
and he comes over and he sits down next to me, and then for the next hour,
right,
pounding him with Kevin.
There you go.
It's like boom, back and forth. And I'm sure that he was drunk when he said this,
mm-hmm,
but he did say, when are you guys coming back to do this again?
That's very cool.
That's a nice
very, he said that earlier in the evening too, so that's cool. That's
so
very cool.
As I'm going to hold you to this, so we stay there about an hour and a half. It's phony goddamn showbiz with like the people coming up and kissing each other on the cheek and going, I want to tell you something. Your performance tonight, it was beautiful.
You're beautiful, baby.
Just such crap.
Right.
Just dripping down. So I'm there about an hour and a half. I'm getting ready to split. And I said to Leah and Kevin, they were sitting by me, I said, guys, I'm going to just get a cab,
right,
and go out to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts saying, no, come with me to see Angelo.
Right.
Her boyfriend was making a record.
Mm-hmm.
He was
right,
an aspiring singer.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, you know what? I really feel like at this point, I'm like horned in enough on your phone,
right, right,
for this evening. And she's like, no, come with me, because there won't be a man in the car. It was just her and her makeup person.
Mm-hmm.
So come with us to the studio. And Kevin then pulls me aside and he says, I got to tell you something. It's going to be very boring going there. I said, why don't you come out with me?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, you know what? I'm going to go see what Angelo's doing. So
right.
Kevin says, maybe I will swing by and pick you up later.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Great. Get in the car. Little bombed.
Right.
In the back seat. Leah's in the front seat. The other girl's driving. We get to the studio. Big, major recording studio.
Right.
We walk inside. And it's like you see on television, or if you've ever been in a real recording studio, there's a big, gigantic board,
mm-hmm,
and about two studios away with panes of glass in between,
right,
there's Leah's boyfriend, Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
And he is singing. And he's like not doing a Ricky Martin thing, but it's something like that.
Right.
And I sit down, and I start listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leah says to me, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And I said, I think Angelo's great. She said, no, come on, don't bust my balls. What do you think, really? And I said, well, really, what I really think is that his singing is very good, but whoever that backup singer is, is awful.
And then because... you were feeling your oats a little bit in this day. You're in your brutally honest stage, huh?
Very late.
All right.
Frankly, I've had about maybe a full bottle of wine by myself. I'm goofy tired.
Right.
And now I'm having visions of me being his producer.
The record producer, yes. With the good ear. That disc jockey, that program director's ear.
Right. On the way over. I've made Leah sit through all my stories about, you should see my wall at home. I have gold records. I was the music director for major stations. I can hear a hit record. So she says, really, what's wrong? And I said, what's wrong is that the bitch that's singing backup is simply off key.
Right.
She says, well, why don't you just tell them? And at that point, I was
she there or were they playing a track?
No. She was there.
She was there.
It was like it was Angelo and this backup singer in a studio, three studios away, and Leah and myself and these other people and the real producer sitting there running the thing. So she said, why don't you say something? I said, okay. I get up, and I press the button for the intercom, and I'm talking to the microphone. I go, hey, Angelo, how you doing? And he goes, again, he clicks back, and he goes, you know, hey, hello, Don. How are you? How did it go tonight? Hey, it went great. Can I talk to you for a second? Anything you want to say to me, just go ahead and say it. All right. So I said, I want to tell you, you're great, but that lady you're singing with, she's not hitting her progression on the keys. And there's silence for a second.
Oh, my God.
And he goes,
she's there?
Yeah, she's standing there with him. Well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I'm bombed.
Oh, God.
I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, what do you mean? And I say, now this is where I'm really acting like I know what I'm doing. I go, there's a progression, Angelo. Your notes go, ah-ha-ha-ha. And I said, when you get to the ah-ha-ha-ha, you're fine. I said, she's killing you on about the second one. And he goes, can we get a playback on that, please? So now the producer's giving me the evil eye.
Oh, my God.
And he rewinds the tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we listen to it. Damned if she's not hitting the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking very proud. I've got my arms folded like this.
Right.
And I'm looking around the room. And I'm thinking, you know what? Damn it, I'm producing a record right now.
There you go.
I'm really doing it. And all of a sudden, the door flies open. And it's the background singer. And she is about 300 pounds. And she has long, long fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
Real long. Big black woman. She comes up and she puts a fingernail right in my chest and she says, who are you? And I said, hi, I'm Don. I'm a friend of Leah and of Angela's. And she says, I am Mrs. Barry White. And I think I know a few things about hitting notes. And I want to tell you something. You're full of S.
Really?
Mm. And then I said, I think your husband is a fantastic performer. There's no bigger Barry White fan in the world than me. But if you were to listen to the playback, I said, I'm sorry. It sounds to me like you can't hit those notes. And then there was another awkward moment of silence.
Right.
She said, I need a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves the room. And now I think, well, now I've done it. Now I've screwed everything up for Angelo, for Leah. Well, Angela comes around, her boyfriend, and he says, thank God you said something. He said, she's been doing that. I have been here since 8:30. She has been doing this all night to me. Right? So
I love it when you put the accent on him that he doesn't have.
He does have a slight accent.
Him into like, he should be down in like a Tijuana jail somewhere.
He does have a slight, like a Mediterranean accent.
Yeah. I don't know. You always, I think it's because his name is Angelo.
No, he has an accent.
Don, how are you?
The music was at...
it was Latin music?
Yes.
All right, but I don't think, I really don't think he's got the accent.
He has a slight accent. Or maybe I'm exaggerating, but he does have an accent.
Okay.
So he says,
Don, we are Don. Thank you so much for coming to the recording session.
I said to him, I'm sorry. I think I've really effed things up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I had a little too much to drink at dinner.
Right.
And I probably shouldn't have be here. And I said, plus, look, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning, which was almost 4 o'clock in the morning, real time.
Right.
I said, I got to go. I'm just going to, why don't you just call me a cab? And I'm just going to go to the hotel. And then Leah says, no, you're going to spend the night at our house. And I'm running this through my mind. Now, there's a part of me that, I would like to go and spend the night at their house, but I'm thinking...
in bed with both of them.
Yeah, I'm going to come back and be hungover out of my mind and tell my wife that I spent the night at Leah Remini's house.
Right.
I go, that's not going to happen.
just call me a cab. And at that moment, I mean, like a vision from God, door opens, here comes Kevin James.
Kevin James coming to the, to the studio.
He says, hey, are you ready to get out of here? I said, absolutely. Get me the hell out of here. Please, I'm ready to go.
Right.
So I shake hands with Aaliyah's boyfriend, and I go up and I say to Mrs. Barry White, you know, sorry if I offended you.
And how'd that go over?
Not very well.
Right.
And then I say goodbye to Aaliyah, and I go and I get in the car with Kevin, and Kevin says, so what are you up for? And I said, well, I don't know. I think I'm about tapped out on this.
Right.
And he says, where are you staying? I said, I think we're staying in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. He says, no, that's a bad move. You got to stay out by the airport so you can stay out longer. You know where we went? You know those places out by the airport that say live, live, nude, nude, girls, girls?
Yeah, right. I mean, right outside the airport.
Right by the Carl's Jr.? Right.
Yeah, that place.
That's where we went.
Oh, really? You went into the bar?
With Kevin.
Oh, my God.
And his girlfriend. There for maybe a half hour, and I had another glass of wine. And
right.
Apparently, Kevin goes in that place all the time. It's like he walked in, he waves, and everybody turned, hey, it's Kevin James. And,
right.
You know, there was conversation at that point, but the music was loud, and I was so tired. And I finally just said, you know, it got to be 2 a.m.
Right.
And I said, you know what, Kevin, on the real time, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I never stay up this late. I really got to go.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, we get in the car, drops me off at the Embassy Suites. Big bear hug outside, you know. They're like, man, you guys are great. Thanks.
Wow.
Said, you know, no, you're great. You're fantastic. I check into this hotel. I go up to the room. I lay down on the bed. It's about 2:15. And just as I fall asleep, that's when the pictures fell off the wall.
Unbelievable.
And the pictures did not fall off the wall because I was drunk.
Right.
The pictures fell off the wall because at 2:45 a.m., the 7.5 earthquake.
Mm-hmm. You know, you had gone out later, and I'm in bed, and I was awakened, and I thought when I opened my eyes, I thought that I'd missed the flight, and that somebody from our crew was inside shaking my bed violently to actually get me to wake up, and it wasn't. I mean, it was actually the earthquake moving the bed back and forth.
Wow.
And I was, when you're awakened out of a deep sleep from this, and you all of a sudden realize, hey, man, the bed is shaking. I'm in California. Earthquake! And I went outside, and the hotel that you were supposed to stay in was an atrium hotel, and it has the elevators on the inside.
All right.
And the other memory I have was opening the door. I have no shirt on, and I'm wearing jeans with no shirt on, and I'm standing out in the hallway, and I'm staring at the elevator cables that are going back and forth. And then I look to my left, and there's a couple, a fairly good-looking guy with an absolute spokesmodel girlfriend. And they're looking at the same thing, and she looks over at me and gives me the once-over, and I'm like, wow, that is really... And I realize when I say, wow, I'm half-naked.
Oh.
And that's when I decided to go back and get my shirt on and take the fire escape down to the bottom floor. And I spent about probably a half an hour just chilling out and, you know, looking at the aftershocks in the lobby. And it was freaky. It really was.
I laid in bed for a second after the pictures fell off the wall and really for a minute thought, you know what? I really had too much to drink tonight.
Yeah,
I really did.
You know, at that time of the morning, you're just not sure, even if you've been, especially if you've had something to drink.
So I got up. And I opened up the window, you know, I opened up the curtains, and I looked outside, and I
opened up the window and said, help!
I looked outside, and I saw the building across the street actually doing one of these.
Right.
Like barely moving. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know if this is the fact that I've had about 8 glasses of wine.
Yeah. And you had just gotten to sleep, you said, right?
And it's at that point that they came on the intercom on the telephone in the hotel room, and they said, attention, everybody, we're having an earthquake.
Right.
That's all. They didn't say... evacuate, right. Come downstairs. They just got and said, hey, everybody, we're having an earthquake.
We're having an earthquake, a tropical earthquake.
And it never occurred to me to leave the room.
Right.
Never occurred to me to go down to the basement, to go to the stairwell as you did.
Sure, sure.
I just went back to sleep.
Well, that's because you've been out all night.
Yeah,
because
I was drunk.
It's one of those, you know, I was, it really just took me a while. And you guys, Charlie didn't come down to the lobby, right?
No, I stayed in bed. I heard like a little clattering. And I looked over,
What floor were you on, right?
I was on the 6th.
Okay,
way
you were
up
on
the
floor
top
above
floor.
Me. Right.
And I looked over and the hangers in my closet are just jumping around. I said, that's sort of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I go to sit up and everything starts going crazy. And in the true lazy man, I called the lobby.
And he answers, and I say, and it sounded real funny. In retrospect, I said, hi, I'm up on the sixth floor, and we're having an earthquake. Like, that's not going on in the lobby, but there's an earthquake on the sixth floor. And he said, yes, we are. And I said, should I stand in a doorway or something? Because that's what they always say, stand in a doorway. He said,
I talked to a guy who was outside the lobby when I went around. I actually got down to the bottom floor, and the sign said, you know, open in case of emergency. I'm like, earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, and that thing goes, and I just walk around the front of the hotel, and I meet two people, another couple that's outside, and I said, man, I tell you, this is kind of weird. And the guy said, well, I'm from California, and you're probably doing the thing you should be doing right now, getting out of the building.
Right.
You know? I mean, really, because that's, I mean, if there really is a catastrophic earthquake.
Not a thought.
You were bombed. That's why you had not a thought.
I just went back to bed.
Well, I was stone cold sober, and I basically just pulled the blankets over my head. And
right.
By the guy in the lobby said there was nothing to worry about.
Well, if it had been centered in Los Angeles, the difference would have been you would have been in bed, like, between eight floors of concrete pancake.
Well, you were on the fifth floor, I would have been in your bed.
Yeah, that's
so
right. Because if it really had been, you know, they said if it had been centered in Los Angeles,
it would have been the worst earthquake of all time.
And I don't, you know, and if something was going to happen, I don't think you have time to process it. You're just,
right.
I mean, if a building's going down, it's going to go down probably pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And it really wasn't, when I said to people, it wasn't violent. What I found it to be, my bed was just kind of big. It was like somebody was rocking it.
You know,
it was
yeah.
rocking.
You know,
I thought it was.
I called Frida immediately. Not a good move.
Yeah, I did. I called my wife also at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I called my wife. I'm still a little drunk.
Right.
I just gotten in. I called her. Honey, you're not going to believe this. And she said the way I described it to her was, I said, it felt like someone put a quarter in the Magic Fingers machine.
That's exactly what that is.
Right.
That's the best description of the bed that I was trying. You know, I was trying to communicate that to people, and that's what it was. It was the rocking of the bed.
I just called her. I said, honey, I've had the most amazing night. I kind of screamed at Barry White's wife, and I went to a recording studio, and then I went to a strip bar with Kevin, and now, honey, there's an earthquake going on. My wife said, what time is it? It's 2:45.
Right.
She says, where are you? I said, I'm in the hotel. We're having an earthquake.
Amazing.
And she said, we probably shouldn't be on the phone with me if they're having the earthquake.
Right, exactly.
And at that point, I think that she thought that I had a little too much vino.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was, you know, the only thing that saved that from being a real catastrophe was the fact that it was so far out. And I'm not telling anything people anything they don't already know. It was way out, but I mean, so significant as to knock a train off its tracks out in the day. And you've got to realize how powerful something has to be. And then did you see in the news yesterday that now they've discovered a new fault that they thought was inactive?
Right. Yes.
And they were first saying that this was an aftershock from the 1992 quake, but no, this was its own little deal.
And Mike, I'm sure you were saying to people as I was all day yesterday, yes, we cheated death.
You know?
We cheated Mr. Death.
Absolutely.
And we won.
It was you know what you can say is you were in a legitimate 7.0 earthquake. Now, regardless of where the thing was centered, it happened.
Hey, it made the pictures come off the walls.
I've been out there for a couple of, I think we've probably both been out there one time or another where we've gotten a little, maybe an aftershock or something, a little movement.
But yeah, but nothing
like this. This was really a sustained, about, at least when I woke up, it was a good 45 seconds of rocking and rolling before I went downstairs.
And when it made the pictures fall off the wall in my room, those are pictures that are bolted to the wall.
Right.
And who would want to steal those ugly pictures? I don't know, because they're like dogs playing poker and stuff.
Truly amazing. And you saw the different, you know, highways with splits in it. And it was something, but it's something at least when, to be frightened, you're not frightened when you first realize it. The fear, at least for me, well, I got freaked out after the fact.
Sure.
Because I was like, well, is this is this leading up to the big one? Because you always hear about earthquakes
you were a little flipped out of the airport on Saturday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit.
Yeah, I was still flipped out from that. And the cab driver on the way to the airport said this, it was unusually crowded, you know, even for LAX, for Los Angeles International Airport, because there were so many people that were just picking up and leaving early from their vacations and changing their flight schedules, and they said that's why the airport was more crowded than normal. A lot of people, they told me at the desk of the hotel, in our hotel, I went back up, I don't know how I got back to sleep, but I went up for a couple more hours, got a couple more hours of sleep. They said 40 people checked out of our hotel Like in the wee hours, like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Where would you go, though? I mean, if you're staying in a hotel.
But I have no
idea. Where would you go? To another hotel?
Either maybe there were business travelers, you know, just driving home or something
like
that.
They did call after I had gotten back to sleep. I was on the 17th floor.
Mm-hmm.
They did call to ask me if I wanted to change my room.
Right.
Mm. And at that point, I was so tired. I said, hello? I said, yes. Would you like to change your room? I said, no, I'm trying to sleep.
Where do you go? I mean, do you go to the bottom floor or do you go to the top floor? Which is better, you know?
Yeah,
I think I'd rather go to the top floor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean,
kind of weird.
I didn't have time to noodle that through, but when I was checking out the next morning, I said to the guy, I said, why did you guys call me again at 3:30? He said, because everybody that was on one of the very high floors, we want to give them the opportunity to move to a lower floor.
They seem to have more protocol in your hotel, believe it or not, than ours, because ours, they just seemed like everybody, even at the desk, the security guards that were down there, everybody kind of in a state of confusion. Nobody really, true?
The guy, it was like 3 hours when Charlie and I finally checked out. I didn't sleep much after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the guy, very friendly guy at the front desk.
Right, clueless.
Yeah, I said, wow, is that typical? Yeah. I don't know, that's my first one, too. Kind of wild, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, wild.
I think they're supposed to do all that stuff they did for you. They're supposed to alert everybody hey, get out of the building. And you're also supposed to be, if they have the floors, probably ask that question. But with us, it's like, you want another cookie?
Exactly. But they are great cookies.
They are good cookies.
Mike, let's talk to Adam, one of the people who actually flew out to California just to join us at the taping of King of Queens.
Very, very good.
I think we may have interviewed this lad on our show, as a matter of fact. Hello, Adam.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Is this Adam from Rockville?
Yeah.
Is it Adam from Rockville?
That's me. How you doing?
Okay.
Did you really go out there just to see us on that show?
I was out there. I had a business trip that had been scheduled in advance, but they canceled it the week that I was supposed to go. But since I was already planning to go out there and go to the show, I went anyway.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank you, Adam.
Oh, I love you guys. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you guys. Check it out. I was staying in Pasadena, which was about 130 miles southwest, and it was
Hey, check it out, Mike.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out.
Yes,
check it out.
Go ahead, Adam.
And I wanted to tell you, first of all, how fantastic it was to be on the set when you guys taped. I mean, there was definitely a lot of exposure with you guys in that first scene.
I'm telling you, in the scene in the bar, Mike and I are going to be on TV for 2 or 3 minutes.
We get serious camera time on that.
Cool. Hey,
Adam, you were a witness. You were watching the monitors. Are we right about that?
Yeah, because what happened was that most of the dialogue took place right next to you guys, and so we saw your profiles, you know, pretty much the whole scene. And every time they cut to the guy that was giving Spence a hard time, I forgot the character's name, but the Italian guy?
Larry Romano.
Larry, right.
Yeah, when he stood up and they cut to him, I mean, it was right there. You know, Mike, I think Mike was on the left and Don was on the right. And you guys got a lot of exposure in that scene.
I know a lot of people. We're going to talk, obviously, more about this when the episode actually airs.
Sure.
I know people are going to be wondering what we talked about.
Oh, God. We're such goofs. We really are the biggest goofballs in the world. I mean, it's really silly.
We could not simply mouth fake words to each other.
Right.
We were actually whispering at each other.
You cracked me up. You have a crumb from your mustache.
You have a giant piece of food hanging from
you
your mustache.
You have a piece of onion ring hanging from your mustache. And then I just started. Then after that, when you told me and they did another take after that, I was cracking up. And we held it together, I thought. You know?
We were smirking.
I can't wait to see it because we're not actors. We really are.
You know, we did get some good advice from Leah, though, before the show, because she said, what are you guys, when you have your fake conversation, what are you going to talk about?
I said,
we're probably going to talk about anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to say the F word to each other. She said, whatever you do, don't do that, because
right.
they have people who actually sit
right.
and monitor to see if you could see, like, nasty
sure.
words being said. She said, if you guys say the F word and someone picks it up, even though you're not saying it,
right.
you're going to be cut out of the scene.
Wow.
So our conversation was pretty G-rated.
Now, did we mention on the tape show from Friday about the onion rings? Did we mention that?
I think we mentioned it. Yeah,
I'm still grossed out. No ill effects, though. Really.
I think she was lying. They tasted like normal onion rings to me.
She might have been just dumb.
Well, it looked like you guys were actually having a real conversation, because as you said, they taped that scene over and over again. And I was watching you, and it looked like you were having a genuine conversation.
Of course it did. We're both giving each other thumbs up right now, like, hey, well, that's because we're
actors.
And one last thing. I wanted to thank you guys for signing my script. It was great seeing you guys out there and getting y'all. It was neat. They introduced you at the end as well. That was fantastic.
Patrick.
No, I don't know. How do guys in the audience end up getting scripts? We must have had four or five people.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that had scripts there. I would have loved to grab one.
Come up and say, you autograph the script.
At least when my wife went, it was done as like a raffle. Like there was a prize for either questions or...
Well, I can tell you how I got mine. There was a guy with a microphone who was keeping the crowd fired up between sets, between scenes.
Right.
And what he did was he recruited one person from each side of the audience to sort of help him out between scenes, like throwing out chocolate kisses and getting people to sing and stuff like that.
That's the most retarded job, incidentally. Mike and I were going crazy because I kept playing YMCA over again.
All right, job I wouldn't want. That's a tough comedy job for that guy to keep the audience warm.
So I guess Adam was one of the chocolate kiss throwers.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, here's someone else who came to see us at that show. Here's Tim, who drove all the way from Bakersfield.
Excellent.
CA to Los Angeles. Hello, Tim.
Radio gods.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Are you the guy that said to me, what, no FNZD now?
That's me, Mike.
You know, man, you really stopped me there. I heard that. That was good. That, you know, yeah, certain people can say things and you immediately know that they're, you know, they listen to the show. That was fantastic.
Well, I was trying to think of something that I knew would be kind of inside, but I didn't just want to go, hey, Michael, I'm a big fan. I drove all the way down from Bakersfield. I'm a stalker. You know, I wanted to say something that would let you know, hey, I'm here for you guys.
It was perfect. Absolutely flawless.
That was great. That was a great show, too. I can't wait to see the episode.
Yeah, Ellen, a good time. I mean, talk about they're going to have a sweeps week, the Monday of the Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, we lucked into that. You know, that was just luck. I mean, it wasn't like they planned it that way. That just happens to be the week they came back and the week we could go out there.
And also, starting on that episode, for the rest of the season, our picture is prominently displayed on the left upper hand of the refrigerator.
You were right, so funny when you went in there and they'd set one scene for the Thanksgiving Day segment.
Right.
And you got mad when you saw the decorations they had, you said, oh, my God, well, that was just for the Thanksgiving.
I know. Our picture on the piano had been taken down, and they put, like, up one of those paper mache turkeys.
Right, right.
I said to Mike, this is not on the radio, I said, oh, those bastards, look at that. I said, we were out here for one day, they took our picture down. And he said, no, it's for Thanksgiving. It's a special episode.
It's especially decorated, so yeah, we'll be right back up there.
I was almost afraid that they weren't going to let us in because we got there late. The traffic on the 405 was an absolute parking lot coming in, and we got there late, but luckily we wound up with some TV Guide contest winners and just kind of followed them in like we owned the place, you know, and they let us in and let us watch that little monitor first over there by the food area, and then they found some, we actually were sitting on the steps, I was sitting on the steps of the bleachers through most of the taping, and unfortunately we had to cut out of there early, but as I was leaving, they were between takes, and the guy on the mic was doing his thing, and as I was walking by, I said, hey, Don and Mike kick ass, and about five or six people in the audience went, yeah. So there were quite a few people there that knew you guys.
Hey, and Tim, of course, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody else. Mm-hmm. Generally, didn't you think the audience filled it like retarded people?
There was a guy actually falling asleep behind my wife.
When we were listening to them, thank you for the call, Tim.
You bet.
We were listening to them warm up the audience.
Right.
And we were amazed that, you know, this phony, I got it right here. This laugh right here.
You always think that's canned laughter.
That's real stuff.
Right.
And the guy that was on stage
right.
was not doing anything funny.
No.
Because these people, all of these mental patients and senior citizens who come to these TV shows, because they're in a TV studio,
right.
they all laugh just like that.
I mean, all the guy has to say is, greetings, how is everybody tonight? Oh, fantastic.
And speaking of mental patients, did you notice that when they were in scenes that were seriously like 6 yards in front of the audience,
right.
they're all watching the television monitors.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, the monitors are right there, but they're like 6 feet away, and they're just watching the monitors like a bunch of idiots.
Oh, yeah. Rob and I were really goofing on people. Because at one point I was sitting with Rob watching the taping of the show, and we both said, look at Kevin James is standing 3 feet away from this guy, yet this guy is craning his neck.
Right.
To look up at a monitor yeah. when he can look 3 feet in front of him and see the real guy.
I don't know whether they tell him to do that or what, but it's strange. It's tough to figure out what to look at because there's so many different monitors, there's so many different looks when you're down on the floor. But you're right, everybody in the studio audience is like, oh, the TV. Go all that way to watch TV.
Oh, and one last note. When Robbie got back yesterday, he had a voicemail from Larry Romano.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. Wants to know if we want to play his record on the radio.
Oh, my.
What did he, about his Yankee song? What was his voicemail?
It was like, It was the Yankees song or the King of Queens tribute song that he had done, but I went through the voicemail. It's a new voicemail system here, so it's always an adventure when you go into it.
Right.
And he goes, yo, Rob, this is Larry Romano, you know, Richie from the King of Queens. Hope you all got back all right. And he went on and on. He said, by the way, if you want to listen to that CD, that'd be great. Make sure you mention LarryRomano.com. So there you go. Everyone check out LarryRomano.com.
Well, there, he got his wish.
Yeah. There's his plug. Okay, listen, we have to do a break, and being as we are back, and we're alive, and we made it through the earthquake. The secret sound number 5, the impossible sound.
Yes.
We're going to shoot the wad this week. It's worth $1,000 American dollars.
A tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
So if we don't get a winner by the end of the week, we'll start giving out very obvious clues so that we can give this thing away.
Good.
But if you pull it right now, you'll win $1,000.
Right.
And also I want to say, before we solicit here, that we've had guys show up at the studio. We had guys show up at the studio yesterday when we were playing a tape show from Friday.
To get their head shaved.
Yeah, and we've had guys show up today. That offer is only open to women.
That's right. We've done it with the guys. We got bored with it. Right. Now it's women.
Now, women only. And if you're a woman who thinks she knows what Secret Sound Number 5 is and you positively can't wait to call in,
right,
you can come down and take a guess in person. If you're wrong, we will shave a reverse mohawk down the middle of your head.
Right. Same as the guys, absolutely.
For girls only. But if you're right, we will double the prize, meaning that a girl could walk out of here with $2,000.
So if you're real sure,
wow.
But we should tell you. Everybody's been sure that's coming to this studio.
They've all had the bad haircuts and had the eyebrows shaved off.
Yeah, and it's a little different for a woman, so that's why we're doubling the money.
Right, and it can't be a woman with, like, Anne Hayes hair,
no.
Short hair.
No, not Annie Lennox. We want a woman with some real hair.
Right, but now listen, everybody who just wants to play the contest the good all-American way.
Right.
We got it for you right now. If you're the 100th caller, please call Mike Rockhead. Huge Yankees fan he is.
Yes, ready to collect our bet, because I lost the bet with Rockhead, and he was, that's one of the rare appearances that he made upstairs in the office to come and collect it. As Don predicted.
I told Rockhead when I saw him today, I said, you know what?
Right.
You're not going to see that money from Mike for a while. I said, Mike doesn't welch on his bets.
That's right.
But don't count on that money this week.
No way. I'm going to make him wait. I'm going to make him sweat it out.
Sure.
Make him really sweat it out.
Call Rockhead right now. He's going to screen the 100th caller.
And maybe he'll be fired before I have to pay off.
The toll-free line at 1-877-365-36. 36.
Sports 1140. KHDK, Sacramento. Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They're on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. But you could doctor tape.
A Cooperstown. Well, if you live in Worcester, Mass., how about those socks?
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly 4 o'clock, and we're on two stations in Worcester, Mass., WGFP and WORC.
Let's go, girl.
It's where wrongs are righted and rights are eliminated. The Don and Mike Show.
What, socks?
Yeah, it was good. Normally, when you play that Shania, I always lip-sync Let's Go Girls to rock. But with the socks, you put that in my head, and I was just wallowing in my own self-pity there for a second, so I forgot to do the...
I forgot that. I got to tell you something.
Yes.
That, you know, I could give a rat's ass about baseball.
Right, I know.
But I got to say, and I mean, I guess they deserve to lose because the Yankees played better.
Right.
They got so robbed.
Oh, didn't they, man?
They got so robbed on the throw where the guy was supposed to have tagged the guy at second base.
You see when they get the close-ups of those umpires after that, too, where they have the guy just sitting there, the big, like, umpire with 15 chins, just sitting there going, yeah, yeah. But, you know, who knows how the games would have turned out, but it is kind of frustrating when you see two calls like that. I mean, you're lucky if you see one in an entire postseason. The Red Sox got two that went against them, and it was very frustrating. But, I, you know, seriously, I think that the Yankees would
would have beaten them anyway because the Yankees had a better team man for man. But that, you know, the first one in the first, I think it was either game one or game two, I forgot. That to me was more heinous than the other one.
Oh, really? I thought the second one was just, well, it was so obvious. He didn't tag the guy.
I'm not saying more heinous. I'm just saying based on the outcome of the game. I think the second one, you know, who knows? It would have been Offerman on second with two outs. You're not sure what would happen. But as far as, you know, the significance to the whole series, the first one, when it was not, by any stretch of the imagination, a double play ball, you know, it was ridiculous.
You know, it's a pisser. Is that the people in the stands,
right?
Obviously everybody on TV sees what happens.
Sure.
But in the stands, they're watching the big jumbotron.
Right.
And how come the big fat-ass umpires can't just look up at the screen and go, oops, you know what? He never did tag that guy.
I mean, I don't get that.
Why don't they just look up and say, hey, you know what? We blew it.
Yeah.
The guy was safe at second. Or just say, do over.
Yeah,
I think the guy back and let him bat again.
Well, it sucks, but it, you know, it's tradition. You know that. I mean, it is tradition. You know, and I got to tell you, I've talked to a few friends that are Red Sox fans, and we all feel the same way. I mean, nobody expected the Red Sox to even get this far.
Right.
It was a great season. At least they did one thing. They did one thing for their fans, and they defeated the great traitor, Roger Clemens, and everybody in Boston, all the Red Sox fans, since he left and he went to Toronto, we have always felt like he screwed the Red Sox, and it was great to have at least one game where we beat the Yankees.
The great Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
The great fans started throwing stuff on the field.
Oh, yeah, you can't defend that. That's indefensible.
That's like watching a game in Philly, for God's sake.
I know. They were pissed, and, that's crap, the people that do that.
Now you can focus on fantasy football.
Yes, I can. I told you that today. How'd that
Mark Brunell trade work out for you?
I know.
I told you he's a son of a bitch, man. I'm sorry, but I sold you damaged goods.
You did. You did indeed. And now I'm down to nobody. I've got a backup quarterback for San Francisco. But the miracle of miracles is I can't believe I won my game this week.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sorry it was at the expense of your son.
Bart's so pissed.
But I mean, Bart's team didn't score any points for him.
No,
right?
Keyshawn.
I scored, what, 24 points?
Yeah. Keyshawn had nothing for Bart. Antonio Freeman had nothing for Bart.
I see. I would have preferred, like, beating JP or somebody with 21 points or 24 points.
Yeah,
no.
Sure.
Ah, sports. You know, to be honest with you, last night when I turned the TV off at the moment the ball was in the air to left field. That's when I turned the TV off because I do not want to watch a Yankee celebration. That's the worst thing in the world to me. So I turned it off and then I kind of sighed and now I can retain normal sleep patterns because it's been a little stressful. But I congratulate the Red Sox on a great season.
I just want to announce it right now, right here
on October the 20th.
19th. Is the 19th
tonight? 19th.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming back in fantasy.
Really? All right.
Yeah. I'm 1-5.
You make some moves?
I made a big move today.
Your big pickup. Yeah.
Mr. Jeff George. I'm telling you.
You're just making me laugh with that. It's just big. I'm not laughing at you.
You can laugh at me.
I'm laughing at fantasy football in general because when you say something like that, you know, yeah. Jeff George has had, yes, tremendous success. And
he's the keystone for me.
But he has also had tremendous failure.
I know he's a dick. But I'm telling you, and I know I'm desperate.
Right.
Hell, I'm 1-5. I'm
sure.
The worst guy in the league.
Turn
it around.
I will tell you right now.
Finally won a game this week.
With the postseason baseball, which has occupied all of my sports time, I will tell you that I am the least prepared owner in the entire league. Now, I have to just refocus and figure out what's going on. Because I have no idea what's going on with my team. That's why, you know, I didn't even put a roster in for this weekend. And who did? Was it Mike Alstott?
Didn't even play this weekend.
Was that because of a bye week?
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's bisexual. Okay, one more sports thing. And I know we have our caller 100. Everybody can just cool their hills for a second.
Right.
Oh, and there's a woman in the lobby waiting to get her head shaved. So we'll get to that also.
I want to say go Sox. I really want to say it because I know I'm not going to sit here and say Red Sox suck because I was happy they gave us more. I love it, man. It was a great year. It was fun. I loved every minute.
One last quick thing about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Which fan do you hate most?
Okay.
A Yankee fan
mm-hmm.
or a Met fan? I'll tell you my opinion. My opinion is I hate a Met fan more than a Yankee fan.
Oh, it's so hard.
Because the Yankees have always the Yankees have always been good.
Right.
But the Mets usually suck.
Right.
And when the Mets usually suck, their fans don't support them.
I
hated watching the 15-inning game over the weekend because the Mets fans
right.
would, like, boo the team when they would come out. They hold up signs going, you guys suck. But then when they win,
mm-hmm.
you know, the announcers start going,
right.
the New York Mets fan, they're a New York sports fan, the greatest fan in the world.
You know who I hate? I hate the Yankee fans, I hate the Mets fans, and I hate the Brave fans equally.
Well, the Brave fans just don't show up.
They play a game.
They have like 20,000 people that aren't there.
With their chop thing that they do.
Yeah, but you know what? They're just necks. They're not ignorant.
The Braves
pricks like the New York fans.
If it's gonna be a series, this is right now. It's the most hated scenario because you're going to have either the Subway Series, which to me will make me almost barf, or you will have the Atlanta Braves
and the New York Yankees.
Shocker of shockers.
I think,
say what you will about the old town team. If the Red Sox had managed the miracle and gotten in there, it would have been a fresh face. Now you're going to have, the Mets are, sort of a fresh face.
I hate the Mets.
Subway Series! Subway Series!
I hate the New York fans.
I really do.
I guess I do hate the Met fan more than I hate the Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
I think that...
I kind of hate them both equally.
Because of the rivalry, I have to go to the Yankee fans. I've always hated Yankee fans, especially that one that's out there answering our phones today. Hate him, number one. He's my number one hated Yankee fan today.
Mike Rockhead. Oh, got to get one more quick plug in. Las Vegas style show.
Oh, yeah!
Listen, everybody, it's tomorrow night for goodness sake.
Wow.
Tomorrow night, we're going back to the District of Columbia, which is the District of Columbia.
All right.
We will be at a joint called The Garage.
Yeah.
On 18th Street, the intersection of 18th and Connecticut Avenue. Then downtown is near the Improv, Dragonfly, near the Camelot, Mike.
Dragonfly?
That's one of the bars that's right around the corner.
Is that a naughty bar?
Yeah, it is. It is. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we will be back at the Garage. Now, just so you know what type of show we're going to put on.
Yes.
The guys that own the Garage and have opened this bar and did this, this show place up.
Right.
These are the same people that ran the Bayou and the other Club Nation where we have had
a wildest show.
Yes,
very wild. Very wild. Everybody's going to have a great time, so come on down to the Garage tomorrow night. It's going to be great.
We'll all be there. Buzz in his PJs, incidentally.
And robe and pipe.
Buzz will also be liquid latexing girls' boobs.
Thank you.
And we'll then be peeling the liquid latex off.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while. That's going to be fun.
We will also have the world-famous underwear or lack thereof fashion show.
Fantastic.
A brand-new Monica Lewinsky cigar contest.
That's right.
Hobo Joe Challenge, Cheryl the Big Bike Challenge, and exclusive video on the big screen of Dennis Murphy in drag.
That's video that we, and I'd like to keep it that way, video that we have not seen
before.
Right. So we'll see it when you guys come out and see it with us tomorrow night.
And we're also going to bring out the video of the girls popping balloons with their asses.
Yeah, very quality video presentation.
All of that tomorrow night at the Garage, 18th Street in D.C., we'll hit the stage about 8:30, and it don't cost nothing to get in, so we'd love to see a big Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night.
All right.
Okay, how pissed do you think all these people on the telephones are? They called 20 minutes ago for the goddamn contest, and we started talking about baseball.
Well, we got a little business to take care of. You know, I had to purge myself a little bit.
All right, here we go. You're the one. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Person just hung up.
Couldn't wait any longer.
Just hung up.
Way to go. Worth the wait. Person's been letting that phone ring for like the better part of 3 days.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you guys doing?
Hey, doing great. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
Herndon.
Mike, you're listening on good old JFK, right?
Oh, yeah.
You, my friend, are caller 100, and that means you have won a Denny's Greatest Hits meal. Try one of Denny's Greatest Hits starting at $2.99. Denny's Good Eats. Comfortable seats. Oh, wait, there's more.
Really say good eats, comfortable seats.
That's the slug line, Mike.
I thought that was like one of your WLS-isms or something like that.
Denny's good eats and comfortable seats. That's their new slogan.
That sings.
Listen, you've also qualified for Friday's weekly giveaway. And once again, the wonderful Tammy Sachs has come up with a great prize.
All right, is it good eats, comfortable seats?
On Friday, we're giving away a trip for two to Los Angeles.
All right.
Trip includes round trip, air, 3 nights, hotel, tickets to a taping of a CBS show. We're going to try to work it out so you can see King of Queens.
And a 7.5 on the Richter scale earthquake.
And more, all courtesy of CBS, the mighty CBS. Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode, because that's when we're giving away this trip, okay?
Right.
Beautiful. Now, all of that having been said, do you think you have an idea what Secret Sound number 5 is?
I have a guess. I hope it's been guessed already.
Please don't say stapler.
I will not say stapler.
Please don't say briefcase opening and closing.
I will not say that.
Okay, so we're giving you help by mentioning those overused guesses.
Please don't say an empty gun being clicked. That was also one of the guesses last week.
Right. Those are the big three.
Okay, for $1,000, are you ready?
I believe so.
Please do not answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill.
And, of course, we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this noise.
Very simple, common noise. Heard around the home every day.
And this is for the big one.
1,000 American dollars. As high as the jackpot goes. Yeah. Nice to hear that again.
Thank you very much.
For $1,000, what is that secret sound?
Is it a key on a keyboard being pressed?
Would you please repeat that?
A key on a keyboard being pressed.
Absolutely not.
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope.
Key on a keyboard.
Nope.
Sorry. But remember, every guess is a clue for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Why are we disappointed when the guesses are...
Because we're hoping that maybe somebody's going to pull it out. I mean, we really would love to see that happen.
I bet it has to go all the way. Yeah, now whenever we get a wrong guess, you're going to hear this.
This is Sam Huff.
Oh, no. If you hear that, you know that you guessed incorrectly.
This is Sam Huff. Doesn't make any sense, but it works for all of us in this room.
This is Sam. All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold the line, please. Like Mike said, every guess is a clue for you. Now, there is a girl outside. Robbie, why don't you bring her in?
All right.
And let's meet her. And then I know we have to do some commercials, and then we'll get to her guess and size her up and see if she's really up for the challenge of having her head shaved reverse mohawk style.
So she's confident enough to come down here, and she knows the deal that if she guesses wrong, she will have a strip of hair removed from the center of her skull.
And I have been informed that it is my turn to shave.
It is your turn. Yeah, I did the last guy, and it's your turn to... You're going to do the... you're going to be the virgin...
Beautiful.
...cutter with the lady.
Well, bring her in. Well, who knows? You know, this could be the lady. Oh, she has long hair, Mike.
Wow.
This could be the lady that really knows what the answer is, and if she gets it right, she gets $2,000.
She gets it right, she gets $2,000. She gets it wrong, she has a new hairdo.
All right, let's meet her.
All right.
Let's meet her.
Oh, my God, that's a big head of hair.
Look at that.
That's a full head of hair.
Hi, lady.
Oh,
hi.
My goodness. It's a pretty lady, and you must be really confident.
I don't know now, though.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Do you think it was a keyboard?
No.
Okay, all right. What's your name?
Janie,
where are you from?
From King George.
Yeah? So who's a celebrity you think you most resemble?
I don't know. They always tell me Helen Hunt.
Yeah, Helen Hunt. Yeah, definitely in the eyes, Helen Hunt.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're hot.
Oh.
So what possibly would motivate you? I mean, you must be...
It's got to be the money, right?
You're very confident?
I was very confident until I just heard it out in the lobby, and I'm just not so sure now.
Really? Okay, well, this is your last chance to back out.
You can back out if you want to.
We'd be real disappointed if you did, though.
We would.
Have you signed the release?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know what? Let's not do a commercial set. Let's just get to it. I'm afraid we got one on the line. We're going to lose her.
Right. Okay, so you think you know it, right?
Well, I thought I did. I don't know if I know it, though.
But you haven't changed your guess, right? The one that's in your mind, you're
no,
still...
No, I haven't changed my guess.
Okay. Right, if you get it right, you win $2,000.
I feel like by asking those questions, like the fix is in. I'm just asking you out of general curiosity. So
is this your final answer? All right, here we go. Good luck for $2,000.
Oh, no, but then I'm going to get my head shaved if I'm wrong.
Yes, that's correct.
Right.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
know the if I want to do it now.
Well, okay, well, let's give her time, man. Let's give her time.
It's everyday use in the household.
Yes, it is. Now, we really, before we proceed, of course, we're going to have to make sure that, you know, that you're willing to try this guess.
It'll just be one strip down the middle.
You will also be, you know, regardless of whether you're right or wrong, you will either be $2,000 richer or you will have the undying respect of our listening audience.
Y'all eat this
for
stuff,
don't
you?
Yeah. Well, somebody, you know, frankly, some girl has to be the first.
And I see that you brought your hat in here.
Yeah, I did.
So you're prepared for this.
So I was prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay, well, what do you think?
My partner, Don, is not a patient man.
Well, Mike, there's 5 million people listening now.
I understand.
Waiting. So what do you say? What do you say? Come on, you're here. What do you say?
All right, let's go.
Let's go!
She has committed.
Okay. Good luck for $2,000. Listen carefully. Name this secret sound.
Caller, name this noise.
That's an everyday sound.
Take your time.
Give you a moment to think about it. Do you need to hear it again? Do you need to hear it again? Yeah, okay, all right. Hold on. Let Mike sing.
Thank you.
All right, now.
Thank you very much.
One more time. I'll give you one more listen because you're here.
You want to listen with my headphones on?
Want to listen so you can hear it better?
Sure.
All right. There you go. Hi.
That's very loud.
Can you hear better? Okay,
yeah.
Here you go. That's the sound. Now.
And we've given you tremendous opportunities there by using...
For $2,000, what is that sound? Rob, get my clippers ready.
Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, gosh. I can't do it. I can't do it because I can't get it.
You mean you're not going to
do
it?
No, you can't
go this far and back out.
Oh, gosh.
You know, if you happen to just pull that sound.
My
boyfriend's
out in the lobby probably laughing.
Right. If you happen to, you know, get, you can't make a guess, you know.
Really?
You can't make a guess. If you make the guess, we're going to go through with this if you're wrong, but you're also going to win $2,000 if you're right.
Spirit of competition does say that we have given this girl every opportunity to back out.
We have given you every opportunity.
So now what is your answer?
I can't do it. I can't do it.
You can't do what?
Oh, I like my hair a lot. But
well,
now more than I
you can't
hair.
Do it.
Why'd you come down here and waste our time then, honey?
Well, because I was so for sure of the sound until
you know
I
what?
A lot of it.
See, this is
the whole problem with women.
I swear to God, this is the
we
whole problem with women.
No.
You know what? You get a guy down here. A guy says, you know what? I'm wrong.
Yep.
Shave my head. You get
right.
A woman down here.
Mm. Oh, get out of here.
All right, get out of here.
Get out of here while the getting's good.
Christ.
All right.
Like every other woman I've known in my life.
There she goes.
With the exception of Saint Frida.
She walks away.
Jesus Christ. You know.
I'm sorry.
What am I ever going
to
meet a woman outside my wife who really means what she says?
I know. I know.
Oh,
I know.
Pisser.
It would have been.
Why get in the car and come all the way down here?
Absolutely. But I'm afraid if we didn't give her the chance, even at the last second, to back out, it would have been like a, you know, scene from 8mm or something like that. You know?
The accused.
Sure. we did, you know, we're
no,
not
no,
about,
no.
We're
no,
not
we,
about that here.
We don't want to hold her down and shave her head. We want her
we're
to,
not happy about that, but.
We wanted to ask for it voluntarily.
Yeah. And now we, you know, the good news is we've played that sound a bunch of times. And, you know, I know that there are more courageous women out there that are really going to go through with this.
Well, she should at least come in and let us cut one of her ears off or something.
You know, I should also point out, it's not like it's a lock that you're going to come in here and we're going to shave your head. I mean, if you really do think you know what it is and you're one of the people, you know, this is a real sound. Somebody might have heard that sound and, you know, you never know.
Well, run out to the lobby. I just ask her what she's thinking.
What her thoughts are.
Ask her what the hell she's doing.
Toying with your feelings the
you
way
know,
she was.
She obviously... thought she had it, came all the way down here.
And she heard it again, and she had no idea.
Sits in the room.
She, you know what changed her mind is when she heard the sound. She didn't want to do it.
But
the sound
know,
of the clippers.
I'll tell you something, honey. I don't want to hear from you 20 minutes from now calling up going, I changed my mind.
No, her opportunity is past, even
here,
if she wants to come back.
Here is Robbie. Hi, Robbie.
She's about to answer the question, what she's thinking right now. What are your thoughts right now, ma'am? She's nervous as S. And she's a classy lady, apparently.
Okay. What's her boyfriend got to say?
What do you have to say, boyfriend?
I said go for it.
He said go for it.
You said go for it, but I don't think we give her another.
That's a great flannel shirt because it's lined. He's got one of those lined flannel shirts. It's thermal.
Yeah. So, Robbie, kick them out, please.
Okay, you're going to have to leave now. I'm not laughing.
Rob, how about perhaps... Oh, he's
there. Yeah.
I thought he was going to get one of his petted.
Now! Rob has sprung into action.
There he goes.
All right, well, you know, Mike, that's why they call them sea teases. We just had our sea teases.
Yes, that was frustrating. That was very frustrating.
We'll be back. We will persevere after
this. It's the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHTK. If you please, their show is filled with blood and cheese. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I do have phone calls standing by. Let me talk to a very decent woman, though, first. Yes? Hello, darling.
Hello, Michael Boo.
Let me just say hello to a woman who means what she says,
follows through,
and says what she means.
If your wife, Frida, was here, she would have gotten a reverse mohawk.
I would have.
Yeah.
But why are girls...
I've had many hairdos in many colors, and I'm not afraid. But
why
I wouldn't
girls?
Be there. I mean, let me say that. $2,000 wouldn't be worth it. I wouldn't be there to begin with. But if I came there, I would have done it.
Why are girls like that? Why are girls like that, honey?
Well, I don't know. You know what? But there are a lot of men out there who don't mean what they say either.
Well,
none that I know of.
Now, I'm just talking about girls right now.
No, all right.
All I know is that lady didn't mean what she's saying, didn't say what she meant.
I know that's hard for you to understand, my boo-boo.
You know that reminds
who
me?
Who always does what he says he will do.
I am going back nearly 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of Janet from Another Freaking Planet.
Oh, my God.
What'd she do?
She said she was going to, shave her head?
Yeah, there was
cut all her hair off.
A girl we had on our show, the traffic girl, said that if I would get my hair frosted in a real faggy light,
right,
that she would shave her head. So
you got your hair done, got his hair highlighted, and then she wanted to, like, modify the bets.
She said that she would get her hair cut like Peter Pan. You know, when for a month she'd been saying on the radio that
right.
she would get her head shaved.
And really, we didn't want it smooth shaved. We just wanted, like, the Marine cut.
Very
know, where
sure.
It was all chopped off, and she backed out, and boy, you were mad when that happened.
I'm still mad about it.
You
know, 10 years later, I'm still mad about it.
You were so angry.
Oh, listen, as long as my wife's in the phone, I got to tell you one funny thing. Well, actually, one I'll say without you about the goddamn neighbors of ours. But last night, we're sitting at dinner, and my wife goes to let the dogs inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the little dog, Max, the little terrier,
right.
he's got something in his mouth. And it turns out what he's brought into the house, what he's running around with, is a dead squirrel.
Oh, my God.
He has started to eat a dead squirrel.
Full grown squirrel or a baby squirrel?
Like a baby squirrel.
Right. Oh.
Are you in carpool? I'm losing you, honey.
I go. Yeah, I'm in carpool. You have to tell stuff.
Yep. All right. Bye, honey.
Isn't that the way your wife sounds to you all the time anyway?
Yeah.
Isn't that how much information you
go up.
That's right.
So we're sitting at the dinner table last night.
Right.
And she says, I'm going to go let the dogs in. The dogs are scratching at the back door.
That is so gross.
And she lets the dog, she opens the door, and I hear a blood-curdling scream.
Oh.
And she says, come here! Come here! And I come over, and here's a little dog, little Max, and he's so happy
that
he's got this dead beaver, this dead squirrel in his mouth.
Beaver.
you were really tending to exaggerate with that.
No.
Next thing you know, it's going to be like it's going to be a buffalo.
No, it's a squirrel. But it's dead. And
I took too big a step there. You would go from squirrel to beaver to
possum.
Possum or fox.
And then deer.
Yeah.
Deer. But no, this is the God's honest truth. It's a squirrel. It's the grossest thing. Because it's like the side of its head is bloody, and its little mouth is open.
Mm-hmm.
It's got its little paws like...
It's not still alive, is it?
This is what we are debating as we are chasing the dog around the house.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, I'm chasing him. My wife's chasing him. My son really is about to throw up.
Yeah, I mean,
he's really about to lose it. And Frida says, hold up. We're using the wrong psychology here.
Right.
Get a dog treat.
I got a dog treat.
Is it in the shape of a squirrel?
I go, what am I supposed to do with this? And she says, hold it up, and like we do when we say, want a cookie? And then when he sits down, when he opens his mouth, you reach out and grab the squirrel.
Right. Put gloves on or something.
Okay, well, no, I had plastic gloves
on. Lots of vermin and all that on those creatures.
I had plastic gloves on. So, but meanwhile, the other dog.
I'm such a suburban.
The German Shepherd, Colonel Klink.
Right.
He's coming over, and when I'm saying, sit, do you want a cookie? He's just sitting.
Right.
So I would give him the cookie.
He's got an elk in his mouth.
And the little dog will not give it up.
No, it's a great treat.
The little dog is jumping up on his hind legs trying to get the cookie, but the whole time he won't let the squirrel go.
Of course.
So finally, I say, listen, I'm going to take the dog outside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get the squirrel from him.
Right.
So we get the dog outside. I get him cornered. And I have to reach out. This is so gross.
Uh-huh.
I grab onto the tail of the squirrel, and it looks like a big rat, really, to be honest.
That's what it is.
And I'm pulling it. I'm realizing I am having a tug of war with my dog over a dead squirrel.
Oh, my God.
So finally, you know, at one point, I'm disgusted by it. I said, listen, screw it. Knock yourself out, you know, but I'm never kissing you again. I'm saying this to the dog. And of course, to the dog, it's sounding like, the dog doesn't speak human.
Right.
So I come back inside and Frida says, did you take care of the situation? I said, no, I've got there in a tug of war with the goddamn dog. So she says, well, go out, take a broom with you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what am I supposed to do with a broom? She says, try to knock it from Max's mouth.
Like, why don't you hit Max in the side of the head?
Because I don't want to hit Max.
Jar the squirrel. Why don't you just grab the dog's head and separate its jaws? It's not like, you know, it's not like a great white shark that you do. Your dog is, 8 inches long or something like that?
First, the dog was running away from me.
Right.
Then when I finally had him cornered.
Right.
Listen, I sound like a pussy here. And frankly, I am a pussy.
What did you do?
This thing he's got in his mouth, it's gross looking.
But you've got gloves on, right?
Yeah, I've got gloves on, but still, I don't know if this thing he's got in his mouth, if it's still alive or not.
It might take its little hooked teeth and bite through your your rubber glove.
Do you have
surgical gloves on, or do you have, like, Playtex living gloves? What kind of gloves do you have?
Disposable, like, see-through plastic gloves. I don't know why my wife has them.
Okay, all right.
They're not like the kind that a doctor...
the kind of lunch ladies use?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's not real. You know that, Rob. That's not real thick plastic.
Right, not your high-quality plastic.
Right, yeah. We have surgical gloves at our house for all those nasty household tasks. They're a little more heavy-duty, and they're fun to put on.
So I should have gotten the big yellow ones.
Yeah, the Playtex living gloves. Those, to me, are your best gloves, you know, as far as protecting yourself from...
Yeah, that'd be a winner.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so to make a long story... even longer.
Yes.
I'm in the corner with the dog, and finally, I kind of do what you suggest. I grab his collar, and I said, Max, come on, drop it.
Right.
Drop it. Drop it. Finally, I just turned away, I reached over, and I just grabbed the thing and pulled it out of his mouth, and I realize now I'm holding this thing. So the first thing I do instinctively is I just chuck it. I chuck it into the woods. The dog thinks we're playing a game.
Oh, my God.
The dog goes into the woods. 2 seconds later, comes out, his little tail is wagging like, hey, look, Daddy.
He's got it again?
I found it again.
It's dead, obviously.
Yeah, by now it's dead.
Right.
Now it's dead. So then I went back out again, chased him around the yard again, got it, did the same technique, grabbed him by the collar, reached down, grabbed it, then had to hold the dog under one arm, holding this thing by the tail.
Yeah.
I go up to the back door.
You must have had your gag reflex going pretty good.
I'm ready to puke. I knock on the door with my elbow. I go, here, take the dog, because the dog is going crazy. Like, the dog wants the toy back.
Sure.
So I give the dog to my wife, and the dog jumps out of her arms, and he's up against the door like this. Like, with his hands, like, why are you doing this to me, Daddy? Why are you doing this to
me? Taking my toy away.
So I go out in the backyard, I got the shovel, I buried that son of a bitch.
Oh, did you put little, like, rocks on top of a grave, or a little cross, or anything like that?
No, just, I dug a little hole, put him in, put the dirt back on top.
Said a little prayer.
No, didn't say a prayer, Mike.
Well, I just hope you're happy that you sent that squirrel straight to hell.
And then made sure that I put a bunch of big hunks of tree, you know, big pieces of wood.
Squirrel hell is where they're in the middle of the road all day long, and they can't decide what direction to go in. And the tractor trailer never gets there. They just have to sit there and go, right, left, all day long.
Like all Frogger.
Yeah.
You ever play Frogger?
Yeah, sure, exactly.
That's a good game.
Back and forth.
Grossest thing. So then we get done with this.
This is the time of year you're going to see all, you know, it's starting to get cold here on the East Coast, and lots of little creatures are coming around the house because they're cold.
So we get done with this, and then we sit down at dinner, and, you know, I'm scrubbed up, and we're discussing this. And
we didn't have any finger food.
We're laughing about this, and then Frida says, you have to take Bart down the street. Because he has a piano lesson or something. All the stuff that I never do, because I'm always at work.
Right.
Like I did carpool yesterday both ways.
Uh-huh.
We're leaving. I'm taking him to his piano lesson, 7 o'clock last night. And I notice that there's like a million cars parked on my street, like somebody's having a party.
Huh.
Don't give it a second thought. Coming back from dropping my son off at his piano lesson, and I notice now that the guy that's having a party at his house, he's got a sign out front that says, valet parking here.
Mm-hmm.
And what the guy's doing is when people are coming up and parking their cars, they just pull up in front of this guy's mailbox.
Right.
They get out, and they got a guy in a red jacket who parks the car like down the block in front of everybody else's house.
Pretty she there.
Okay? So I'm thinking a little bit of an inconvenience, but, you know, frankly, not a bad idea. And I'm also wondering how come I'm not invited to this guy's party.
Yeah, what's going on? Some big event.
One of the big AOL chiefs.
Okay.
So it's an hour later, Frida says, go pick Bart up. I get back in the car, I go to get him. This time, I can't get off the street.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get off the street because there's cop cars, and there's those big Suburbans that have the blacked-out windows and stuff.
So they're having some kind of diplomatic function?
No, it was a fundraiser for Al friggin' Gore.
Yeah, now I know who you're not voting for.
Oh, I wouldn't have voted for the surfboard anyway.
Was he there?
Yes.
Wow.
He's there.
Whoa.
He's there. He effed up my commute. My kid was at the piano place for 20 minutes. I'm calling him. I say, hey, it's a 5-minute drive. I say, I can't get there because Al Gore is at the AOL guy's house.
Wow.
So I make it past. I pick my son up.
then coming back,
mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting. I'm out of my mind. I'm on the phone with my wife. I said, how inconvenient. You know, you're going to do this. Why not let the neighbors know?
Right.
How about warning the neighbors that you're going to have the vice president of the freaking United States at your house?
Or invite you to the party.
Oh, I wish.
I mean, you know, God.
I would have gone.
Sure.
Of course I would have gone.
No, you wouldn't have because you know what it is. You got to go in there and... You know, drop $2,000 a plate or something like that.
Oh, you're right. I wouldn't have gone. But it was just a huge inconvenience, and we're trying to pull up, and then we finally get up to
is
where...
Is this Plastic Fence Boy?
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
No, this is...
another guy.
An AOL guy.
Oh, okay.
One of the boy geniuses at AOL.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to make it past this guy's house to turn the corner to go on the street where I live. Finally, as we make it up there, the valet guy comes up. To the side of my car, and he goes, good evening. And the guy looks at me, and he says, you're a little underdressed for the party. The valet guy, he's trying to be funny. I had on a sweatsuit.
Right.
And I said, listen, I'm just trying to get to my effing house. He says, excuse me, Bart, I'm trying to get to my freaking house.
Mm-hmm.
I live about a mile down this road. Can I get to my house? And at that moment, all of a sudden, three guys with the earplugs come around the corner. They go, is there a problem here? And I'm like, no.
This is not the best breakfast I've ever had.
At this point, I still don't know what's happening.
Right.
I still don't know that it's Al freaking Gore. I said, listen, I'm just trying to get to my house.
You don't have your Prezdar, do you? I'm good at spotting. I can spot that 20 miles away when you see the Prez or the Vice Prez.
And Frieda said to me that I should have noticed. She said, did you see all the big Suburbans? I said, yes. Did you see the district tags?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. She says, where do you live? I live in Virginia. She said, weren't you curious why there are 100 cars with district tags, those big presidential-type cars?
Sure. It's easy to spot, you know, the motorcade.
So, but then what was cool was, and it wasn't a motorcade, Mike.
Of course it's a motorcade.
But, I mean,
the vice president's about, and it was parked.
It wasn't a motorcade when I saw it.
Right, it was stopped.
So when the guys with the ear things come up to the car, then I said,
right.
Just trying to get to my house. What's cool then is they go, not a problem. And the guy talks into his collar.
Right.
There we go. Blah, 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 blah. Coming through now. Coming through. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, Roger, Charlie, mm-hmm. Over. He goes, if you go down there, the agent will wave you through. So then, you know, I got Secret Service agents out here, like, directing traffic.
Yeah.
I'm going, let this guy through. Let this guy through.
You know, keep it in the city.
Right.
That's, really, I mean, you know, keep it in the city.
Well, bring it out to my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I got to pick my kid up from piano practice.
Out in the burbs.
For goodness sake, I almost missed King of Queens. I mean, that was a real heartache and all that.
Sure, sure.
But listen, the next, and I know this guy listens to the show, this AOL guy.
Mm-hmm.
How about the next time? Just a little flyer. Just put it in our mailboxes.
We'll give you an invite.
Attention, neighbors. You know, I'm having Al Gore over.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to F up your parking. How would you like to come? For free.
Yeah, I think all the neighbors. When you're doing something like that is really going to turn the neighborhood upside down, you owe it to your neighbors to let them know and probably throw a few invites out there.
Right. Al Gore. Please. Almost makes me want to vote for the other guy. I can remember the other guy's name.
Bill Bradley.
Right, him, Mike.
Bill Bradley or George W. Bush or...
No, not him.
Okay.
Not him. I guess the other guy, the second guy.
Bill Bradley. Well, basketball. You're a basketball fan.
Right,
that's
sure.
True.
Is Perot running again?
No. Well, it doesn't look like it at this point.
Donald Trump and Oprah Winfrey. That's my ticket.
There
Warren
it is.
Beatty. That's the ticket.
Paid for by Perot, 96.
You know what movie I watched over the weekend?
What?
I watched Bullworth. I've never seen that movie. You ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have, yes.
With Warren Beatty?
Kind of like motivated him to do what he's doing right now. That's what they say.
It's a pretty funny movie.
It is. It is a very funny movie.
It'd be pretty wacky if you ever had a politician that really did what Warren Beatty did in that movie. Was he just came out, he just said what was really going on.
You know what the thing is? It's very unique, but it probably would never happen in real life. And he's kind of beating around the bush now. Everybody was expecting him to be Bullworth when he made his big announcement.
What, to come out in his jogging suit and do a rap song and stuff?
Just, you know, be totally off the wall, but he's not going to do that.
No.
Al Gore can lose the surfboard image, though, if he adopts my slogan. Everybody should have a button at that fundraiser that says, I'm a Gore whore. Wouldn't that liven things up a little bit? Would you like to be a Gore whore? You donate $250, you can be a Gore whore, too.
Yes, sir.
We are starting it today, Gore whores. All right, fantastic.
All right, well, you're the biggest Gore whore, Mike.
I'm a big Gore whore. I haven't given any money to his campaign yet, but I sure like to be. Hey, if they knock on my door, I'd be willing to become a Gore whore.
So for $250, you're a Gore whore. What if you're one of these schmucks that went to this guy's house last night?
Those things normally, probably $2,000, $3,000 a plate. You know, if it's in somebody's house,
it usually is at the upper echelon as far as of you know, donations that you'd have to make. To,
right.
It's not like going to those ballrooms where you get it for, you know, it's got to be even more than that. That might be like one of those $10,000 deals.
What a waste of money.
Could be.
What a colossal waste of money.
You know, what they do is it's usually people are at those parties that are supporting the candidate for future considerations, you know,
yeah,
for their business.
I know how
yeah.
I know how the system works. Wouldn't it be easier to say, listen, I'll give you $10,000, but I don't want to have to meet the surfboard.
I don't want to go to the party.
Just take the money if he gets elected, pass my legislation. But Christ, who wants to sit through a night with him and Tipper Gore?
Well, people throwing that kind of money down normally want more than that. They want to actually meet the vice president, and then
really?
When he gets to be president, you know, go do the old visit thing. Go to a state dinner. Something you and I will never, ever be at, a state dinner.
I give him $10,000. He better blow me. I'm serious.
That's not very realistic.
He's giving me manual relief.
Okay.
Up for $10,000.
You're getting close. I'll check in when I join the Gore Horse.
The GWs.
Quick break. Break. And we'll be back.
Hey, Rob, why don't you get Mike one of those little clocks like I have?
I can do that.
Why don't you just get him one of these little things, just like I have? So it tells me how long. I got an extra little clock.
Oh, that's cool. You just hit a button and that's it.
We just get him one of these.
Yeah. I have a spare in the other room. You'll have it for the next break.
Oh, good. I'll send you a box.
Wow. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, I'm hoping to get the secret sound.
Are you now?
Well, honey, I'm hoping to be Pope. I don't think either one's going to happen.
No, I am.
Oh, you are, but are you familiar with how that works?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No. You have to wait your turn.
You know, when we say we're doing the contest,
that's what you call
when you hear the touch tones.
I know, but I've been busy running around, and usually you guys do that, right? When I'm going to work.
If you're really so sure.
But I'm off today.
If you're really so sure, you can get on your horse and come down here.
It's funny you should say that, because I have two of those in my duck yard.
Okay, then get on your horse.
You get everything you want, don't you?
Come on down here.
I do.
And if you're incorrect, we will give you a reverse mohawk. That's how it works.
Well, I live in Reno.
Oh, you live in Reno. Well, that's not going to work out. Boy, I was getting all set to tell our receptionist out front to wait for the spoiled girl to come down here.
The fancy girl on our horse, on her pony.
Her pony.
Her pony.
Sorry, come in your shiny, brand-new imported automobile.
Goodbye. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Alrighty, first of all, I just wanted to tell you that just because I'm African-American, I'm still into interracial love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Also,
well, you have to have people from both races to be into interracial love, right?
Well,
you even have interracial love, you said.
So you had it.
I did have interracial love, yeah.
When did you have interracial love?
About 4 nights ago.
Oh, really? Would that be a white man or a white woman?
No. It was a white lady, and her name, ironically, was Shaniqua.
Really?
Shaniqua. And that is an African-American name, but her name was Shaniqua, and she was just lovely in bed.
Really?
Well, yeah. Now, being as you've had balls, let me ask your educated opinion.
Yes, sir.
Which is better to have in bed, a white woman or a black woman?
White woman.
Why is a white woman better in bed?
I just think they're sexier.
Really?
Oh, now, you know, many sisters out there will be very upset with you.
Right.
Well, let those sisters just become white men, because, I mean, they are just not good.
Well, you're going to make a lot of people angry with those controversial comments. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, well, I hope not. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you.
Do you look anything like Steve Urkel?
No, I look like, hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Hello, I know. We're waiting to hear what you say you look like.
No, I look like a white Tom Cruise.
You mean a black Tom Cruise?
I mean a black Tom Cruise, I'm sorry.
You are really stuck on whites, aren't you?
Isn't he a good-looking guy? I'm also gay, by the way.
All right. Okay. Now we know.
Goodbye.
Now we know he's completely full of it.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'll play that game and I'll beat you a million times.
You think you got better for
heart sounds than we do.
Oh, man, you killed him. You killed him.
Please. Hello. Another victory for the good guys.
Absolutely.
Another V for us.
Fantastic.
Man.
One in the win column.
Okay, what does Tom Gavin want?
All right. Oh, hi, Tom.
Hey, buddy.
I know what you're calling about. The appearance tomorrow night, right?
Yes. Yes.
You can't come.
Sure. Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I am.
No, you can't.
Yes, I am.
No.
Yes.
Why do you love to do this to him?
I just enjoy it because I know he's going to come anyway. You can't come.
Yes, I am.
No, you can't.
Yes, I am.
No, you can't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I am.
Spell garage.
Yes, I am.
Spell garage.
Yes, I am. I'll be there early.
Spell garage.
Yes, garage.
No. Spell the word garage.
You got him too worked up.
Yeah.
Okay. G-A-R-A-G-E.
See, we can get him really
very
mad. He spelled.
Very close. The monster.
How old are you again, Tom?
38.
Can you make that sound again that you just made, that really growling sound? Can you do that again?
We gotta see that tomorrow night.
The monster. The monster.
This is Sam Huff. That is really a scary sound, Tom.
Tom, how do you spell monster?
M-O-N-D-E-R. Monster.
Monster bread.
All right. You know what I love? He's like on a spelling bee where he repeats the word after he misspells it. Even better. All right, Tommy. Well, I guess we'll see you tomorrow night.
And guess who else is going to be there?
I have no idea.
Hot Buddy Elvis is going to be playing there tomorrow night.
Oh, that's a band, right? We like that band. They're going to be there.
Yep.
Yep.
The lead singer used to be the lead singer of Trippin' on Rex.
How do you spell butter?
B-U-T-T-E-R-E-D.
Like popcorn. Buttered.
Oh, you know what? I bet you had that written down for you, didn't you?
Nope. I got a band card. That's what I'm reading off of.
Oh, so you did have a clue on that one.
How do you spell clue?
C-O-U-N-D. Clue.
Pound. Fantastic.
Do it again.
You're the greatest, Tom.
Oh, you kill me, Tom. You can name what?
I can name the secret sound.
Oh, let's not even go there.
Make your monster sound again. Come on.
I'm going to go to a new area with Tom now. Tom?
Yes?
What is 9 times 5?
9 times 5 is 10.
How does he do it?
That is fantastic. Brilliant. What is 16 minus 3?
16 minus 3 is 13.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
What is 5 times 5?
10.
10?
Right.
Make the monster growl again.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
And I think I can say something else. Josh Uwohl with Intercom Pagers.
Right, he's trying to get a plug-in for his pager company.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Don and Mike show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Tom Gavin is a total monster.
Yes, he is indeed. Sure. I want to see that scream live.
he bounces a cane on his head. 38 years old. What is 5 times 5? 10! Yes, hello there, Ryan, buddy.
Hey, what's up? I called you a couple months back about when I ran over that cat. Yeah, I'm a black man. I heard that other caller talking about how he likes white women more. I think that needs explanation. I like women more, white women more, because they're more freaky. Problem is, like black women, they have more rhythm. They can do like figure eights and letters. I'm telling you.
Wow,
okay, Ryan.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye.
Join us again at this time tomorrow when we discuss the sexual preferences of the African-American male.
The figure eight? What the hell's a figure eight?
Could that have been an oral sex reference?
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, I got it. You think, Mike. Okay. Look at you pretending like you didn't know exactly
right.
What
it was.
Right.
This is Sam
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Release, no! Unleash the hounds!
It's release.
It's not unleash. We tell that guy every single day it's not unleash the hounds.
Smithers, unleash the hounds.
Unleash the hounds.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello.
I was wondering if you heard anything about the Tony Clifton showing up at the Emmys, and no one knows who he is.
You mean the guy that we had on the show who pretends to be Andy Kaufman?
I don't know. It's just weird. I saw a picture of it, and it says Tony Tony Clifton guy, and he's at the Emmys with this lady.
At the Emmys? The Emmys were like 3 months ago, right?
Right. Yeah, I know, but...
Well, you just get around to reading your mail?
Well, I don't know. I saw it on the website, so... Basically, it's kind of...
Must have been true. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hollywood, you know you well to Hollywood.
Your guy, Mike.
You see, they are the king of queens and you king of kings and now you're me on TV. Oh, Hollywood, you know you
well. Your guy does come up with better lyrics than my guy. My guy just sings our name. There he goes. There he goes. That's one of his better compositions.
My guy's out there. I'd like some new lyrics, please.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Donaldo E. Miguel.
I just wanted to say thanks for the great show yesterday. I really enjoyed that, and it was a very interesting show. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Well, thanks.
Sure. I know you don't like compliments very much, but here's a good one.
Who told you we don't like compliments? We love compliments.
Oh, I know you do.
No, we don't get them enough.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you the compliment we got from the program director.
Oh, good.
Jeremy Coleman.
What did he speak to you about the program?
Yeah. He said, the show was all right yesterday. Did you wear the JFK shirts?
Oh, God.
You know, Jeremy Coleman, all he wanted, and first of all, he bitched every step of the way about us going out there and doing that show. Because he didn't want to buy the airline ticket.
Right.
And he was concerned that we had to play tapes on Friday.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, everybody else on this goddamn station, it like takes 2 or 3 weeks off every time they have a lung removed.
Sure.
But we take one day off, and he bitches about us. And then he says, calls me up on Friday and
right.
says, listen, why don't you and Mike wear JFK T-shirts when you're on King of Queens?
Yeah, I'm sure that would be perfect for our extra role as we're sitting there inconspicuously in the bar scene.
I said, hey, that's a great idea. Why don't you send out a couple of mediums so they'll be nice and tight on us? He's like, I'm going to wear a WJFK T-shirt on King of Queens.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know,
well the way you did it was perfect. And if you want to do a poll, I'm sure you'll come out way ahead of Jeremy.
Well, always. You know, and that pretty much is always the barometer. If Jeremy... didn't like a show.
Right.
I pretty much know that we hit a home run with the show.
Absolutely. Good chance for him maybe to visit Sheriff Head again.
Hello, it's John and Mike Show.
Hi. I just wanted to know exactly what a figure eight was.
What do you mean?
Well, they were just talking about somebody in a figure eight or something.
I think, would it buzz? Let me see
Let's
if I've got
go
it
to
right
our sexual
again.
Right.
Would it be tracing a figure eight with your tongue?
Exactly, with the tip of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That would be it.
That's it.
Mm, that's no different than when Sam Kinison used to talk about oral sex. He would say alphabet.
Very similar. Do the alphabet with your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Right. And do you want to know how many times, seriously, I've been...
Hey...
See, you know, it's a good way to keep yourself motivated down there. You know, so like you don't lose yourself.
It's a good technique.
Every once in a while you get on G.
It's very, very creative.
That's a good letter.
Maybe. And always dot the I.
Across the T.
Yeah, dot that I.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I don't think she understood.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show.
Oops. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I want to tell you what the figure eight is.
We just told everybody what the figure eight is.
The figure eight's something they do with their hips.
Really?
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 Absolutely.
Really?
So it's a hip motion.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
All right, goodbye.
He was very confident, but I mean, are we sure that that's the definitive authority?
He probably also thought the secret sound was a briefcase closer.
Absolutely.
Hello, I hate it when Rob wants to speak about sex.
No, I don't want to talk about sex. Of course not.
Please don't.
I have to put a little bit of faith in that guy because the first caller...
Why do you have to put a little faith
in him? The first caller said that that's something that women can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as the other thing, it would be more for a guy, wouldn't it?
You know, he has that exterior of brains. The TV guy knows all the TV tree. Inside beats the heart of a true sexual deviant.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Now, you know, he does it in the bad place with his wife.
I have. I haven't in a long time.
He does. He does. How long has it been since you've done it in the bad place with your wife?
Probably 2 years.
Oh, man, I'm losing hair thinking about that.
Rob, but I'll tell you
Rob, your lovely wife excluded.
No,
I will leave. Your lovely wife excluded. Thinking about your wife is no problem. Thinking about
it's
you,
thinking about you.
In any sexual
I want you to know that
just...
the next time it happens, I'll call you as soon as it starts and as soon as it finishes.
Oh my God!
I don't foresee it happening again.
Did you bend her over?
Oh God!
No.
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 So is she on her back?
I don't know how that would work,
I've seen pictures in gay porno magazines that I could show you how that would work.
Well, do fax that right
now. That's like...
Oh, no.
So high up in the air.
No, I can almost promise you it won't happen.
So, are you standing?
No.
You're sitting?
No.
Is she on top of you?
No.
Draw me a picture.
Here, hold on here.
You know what? You know that squirrel story?
Yeah.
That is nothing compared to this right now.
Draw me a picture of you and your wife when you have sex.
This will be me
place.
And my wife. This will just be
a generic couple.
These will be
generic people.
Looks like you're playing hangman.
Stick figure.
Is that you? No.
You.
No.
That's her.
This is...
Okay, all right. Well, then she is bent over.
No.
You're just laying on top of her.
Yes.
Right.
Now what?
Oh. What, now you decide to get gross?
Yeah.
Now what? You weren't gross.
Up to now, it was a beautiful thing.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
I love you, Carrie.
Rob, you should just when things were getting better.
you should be a courtroom artist, Rob. You're very talented.
You like that? Yeah.
You know, in Nothing Flat, you actually penned that little diagram, and we all knew it was going
on. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yes. Nice artist and a lovely sentiment. When you have a nice picture to paint, it really comes.
You know, you would be great on win, lose, or draw.
I am very good at that. Like, if you ever play, like, Pictionary?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Sure.
Dirty Pictionary.
Imagine that. You're playing
Dirty Ruin Your Marriage.
Dirty Pictionary with Alan Thick.
Is it anal sex?
That's right, yeah. All right, come on back when we'll play Dirty Pictionary. I'm Alan Thick, and if you don't get the right picture, you're grounded.
What?
I'm white.
It was interesting the way she said that. She went, white.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Interesting.
Hello. Buzz, here's a call for you.
Oh, good.
From a girl in a sex shop.
Oh, excellent.
Her name is Dawn.
Oh, I know Dawn. Hello, Dawn. How are you?
Hi, Buzz. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, you got your best customer on the line right now.
I was just wondering if you got my birthday present.
Actually, no, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Oh. Well, a gentleman stopped by my store. We opened a new store in Bethesda.
What was it, a paternity suit?
No, actually, it was the next size up from the czar.
Oh, wonderful. Because that one was so small.
Right. So, you know, we got a
dildo. The czar was the dildo that you had me go out and buy.
Oh.
It was a son for the czar. Remember the czar?
Oh, I remember right on Valentine's Day.
Right.
Huge.
With the suction cup.
Dawn says she has one for me that's even bigger than that.
Yeah.
If you can imagine.
Hey, Dawn?
Yes, sir.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
You know, I don't know. And you guys asked Buzz that same question, and he couldn't come up with an answer either.
And it's been a while since I've seen her.
Yeah, the most that I can come up with is, do you remember the girl who used to play the niece on Matlock?
The niece on Matlock.
The blonde?
No, absolutely not.
No, that's the only person I can think of.
What's the last thing that Buzz bought in your sex shop?
That would be the czar.
Oh, the czar. Before that, what was the last thing Buzz bought? Do you remember?
Well, like I told you before, we have doctor-patient confidentiality. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Is Buzz on your preferred customer list?
Buzz is on my own personal preferred customer list.
Really?
Oh, well, Buzz, nice. Come on. Come on, give us some kind of celebrity that she most resembles. The niece on Matt. How about the niece on the Munsters?
If I had to choose somebody, I'd say the older daughter on the Waltons. Now, her hair was shorter. Goodbye. I don't think you should be here to hear this. Robbie, where'd my cow sound?
I thought was attractive.
The
big bone girl? The big bone girl that was in Playboy?
Yes,
that's the one.
Oh, my God. Buzz, please, lie.
Really? The older.
She was attractive at one point.
That's right. Oh, man.
My moo sound effect is not working.
This woman's not that large either.
Why don't she
bears a striking resemblance to Cagney.
No, there's a big difference. She doesn't look anything like that. You ask for a celebrity. It'd be more of a compliment to say a woman looked like the Grandma Walton.
Yeah.
That looked like that big cow.
No. You can always do what all the contestants on Strip Trivia do. They totally lie. I may have to do that. Here she comes. The older daughter on the Waltons.
I meant well, Don.
Well, there goes
you, Mary Ellen.
There goes your gold card, bud.
Yeah.
There goes your preferred customer status.
Oh, well.
I was backed into a corner.
Christ. Good afternoon, Mr. Burbank. Will you be paying in hay this afternoon?
You be nice to my friend Don.
You're the one who said it.
I meant
him be nice.
Jesus, a compliment.
He hates doing it. He hates doing it.
Oh, Jesus, the oldest daughter on the wall.
I liked her.
Might as well just say P-I-G.
No.
Is she not a pig?
Is she big boned?
Not as big as the girl in the Waltons. You asked for a face, and that was the face I came up
with. You're really getting upset about that.
I want to protect my friend Don. That's right.
Well, you should have lied.
If you want to fight, fight me.
You should have lied. You should send somebody high. How would we know?
I couldn't come up with anybody.
Couldn't you come up with somebody better looking, like maybe Christy McNichol?
Oh, no.
Doesn't look like Christy McNichol.
Jodie Foster?
Doesn't look like Jodie Foster.
Or anybody.
Lacey.
Maybe a little like Jodie Foster.
Not Cagney Lacey.
Better.
Which one was Tyne Daly?
Don's very attractive.
Doesn't matter. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
We were out there at CBS in Hollywood. Yes, it does.
Tyne Daly. If it was, who would you do, Cagney or Lacey?
Sharon Gless.
You would definitely do the one with the blonde hair.
Sure. Sharon Gless, here we come.
Tyne Daly looks like Jerry Stiller, man.
Oh, no.
I'm serious. Dead ringer. Hello.
Hey, yeah, hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Me and my dad, we think we know the sound.
Oh, come
down.
No, no more guys. The contest for people coming down, only open to women.
Send us your
only
sister.
Open to women.
If your sister knows, have her come down if she's over 18.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don. I tried to just tell Mikey Rockhead, but he pushed me through. It is when you're doing it with the hips. They, like, circle it, and they, like, get right on top and kind of work real slow. And
so does Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Robbie.
Speaking of figure eights, Chris Cagney was played by Sharon Gless, Mary Beth Lacey by Tyne Daly.
So it's Lacey.
Lacey
underalls.
I always think of it as Lacey because, you know, I'd like to see her hitting Lacey under things.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air with us right now. Hello there.
How are you?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
I just wanted to say congratulations on your new TV superstardom.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank you.
And I'll be...
Congratulations on the little one. Great. Fabulous.
And we thank you for the thanks.
Very sweet of you to say that.
All right. I'm from Massachusetts.
Yes.
And I'm not too let down by the Red Sox.
Great.
I still got the Patriots to root for.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
Do you look like the older sister on the Waltons?
No, I've been told I look like the nun from Father Dowling Mysteries.
Okay, I know what you mean.
The nun from the Father Dowling Mysteries.
Tracy Nelson.
Yes.
Rick Nelson's daughter.
Well, because I have long blonde hair.
Oh, okay. Who logs time with these television programs?
Father Dowling.
Well, I used to be a waitress, and the old folks used to tell me that.
Did you wear the nun's outfit when you were a waitress?
No.
Well, listen, what can we do for you, my dear?
Well, I just wanted to say hi. I always listen to your show. I'm so obsessed with the show.
Bless your hat.
Thank you.
And I had the headphones on yesterday. My husband comes home. Oh, he listened to that Don and Mike. I'm like, yeah, they're going to be on TV. And I was just really excited. Well, I say hi to Ann. If she's listening, she turned me on to the show.
I feel like it's Thanksgiving dinner. Sorry.
This lady's very nice. We thank you for your patronage.
Nice. Very sweet.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We had a few of those family gatherings north of the border.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello there.
Oh, I am?
Yes, hi.
Oh, you guys were on King of Queens last night.
Thank you for the bulletin.
When are you guys going to be on?
You mean the episode that we taped? Did you actually thought that what you heard yesterday, you thought we were going to be on the show last night?
Yeah. I thought
they'd
do it live.
No. It's filmed in Panavision.
Our episode.
Well, you know what? My husband had me tape it last night, and I accidentally taped over it today, so I thought he was going to be really mad. He's probably listening. He loves you guys. He listens to you on his tractor.
Well, you know what? Let me get your address so I can send a postcard, a Christmas card to Mr. and Mrs. Albert Einstein. The show will air on Monday, November 22nd.
November 22nd.
Right.
So make sure he pulls the tractor into the barn before the show comes.
No, he's a heavy equipment operator for working.
Why was he on a tractor?
Because he, oh, does grading and paving and roads and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to listen to something or else he might get bored.
Well, he's a good man for liking this show.
Well, we thank you for calling.
He got me hooked on you guys.
Well, thank you.
My name's Pam. His name's Rick. He's going to crack up when he hears me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Pam.
Bye.
Pam.
My name's running out of patience.
Hello,
Don Mike Show.
Don and Mark.
Here he is.
Singing?
They're DJs.
That's the best they could come up with?
They kick ass.
I'm let down, buddy.
Mike's dog sucks?
I think he said Mike is Don's son.
Mike is Don's son.
I don't know.
We have to give tape. We have to do a replay.
All right.
Find out what he said at the very end there. What was it?
Now, hold on, bro. He'll just put on the screen. He said, Mike's guy sucks.
Yeah.
Mike's guy sucks.
Well, I want to tell you. Feeling a little heat from my guy.
My guy could be a better Bernie Taupin. Whoever that...
that's right, the lyricist.
That homo is that writes music with Elton John.
Elton John's lyricist. That's right.
You know, come up with some better lyrics.
It's time to get another sample, too, you know?
Yeah.
Change the melody and then the lyrics will follow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, how are you today?
Hey, buddy.
I don't know if you've heard, but I was in a bookstore this weekend, and there's an author that lives in the Virginia area who dedicated a new science, or he acknowledged you guys in a new science fiction novel.
Really? What is the name of the book?
I don't remember the name, but the author, or the title, but the author's name is Blaine Pardo, and it's a science fiction novel, and in the acknowledgments he says, thanks to Don and Mike for hours of, enjoyment while editing this book.
That's right. I'm Blaine Pardo.
All right, well, thank you. Someone will check that out and let us know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Blaine Pardo.
What do we have for him?
It's a brand new car for Blaine Pardo.
Some guy sent me a book today. Some guy that lives out here in D.C., a book about Green Bay Packer trivia and stuff.
Ah.
The guy writes a very forward letter. I mean, it comes on very strong. It says,
right.
You know, dear Don, I know you like the Packers. I'm available for interviews. Here's my book. I open to the first page and I see dedicated to his wife. You know what I do with that book? In the garbage.
Right.
That's right. Why do we want to interview some guy who's written a book about Green Bay Packer facts if he has not dedicated the book to us?
That's the way. And that should be the criteria for all authors on the show. From this point forward, if we are not dedicated in the book, we should not have the author on there.
Except when we have Vincent Price's daughter on next week.
Yes.
She's going to talk about Vincent Price being a Nazi and being gay.
Very exciting. Wow. That's a very controversial book.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hi.
Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Oh, hello, man. Don, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You wash your brown spot?
Do I wash my brown spot?
Wash brown spot.
My brown spot grows, sir.
Wash your brown spot?
By the way, something. Well, you can.
Wash your brown spot?
Do you wash your brown spot?
Wash your brown spot?
He's sick, sick,
sick.
Last call. Hello.
Your brown spot.
Don and Mike Show. Oh, you know what? This idiotic call reminds me that it's almost Halloween time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know who we've not brought in the studio yet? And it's already the 19th of October.
Oh, I can smell him before I see him.
That's right. Let's welcome back the Halloween spooks.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Look at the third one. There's a squirrel in his mouth. This is Sam. Oh, boy, they are really. You know, it used to be that they had a few holes in their sweaters. And now the bones are all sticking through.
Hi, this is Surf.
Outside my window.
Oh, dear. Well, all right.
Bye, guys.
Here's the Halloween spooks. I know that we like to bring them around this special holiday.
Oh, sure. Get the air freshener out.
The Halloween spooks outside my window. See a bunch of dead people,
mm-hmm.
or nearly dead people,
coming
in and say, oh, they want to finish up.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Big finish here.
Oh, dear.
Halloween spoons.
There they go. 1999 edition.
There they go. Aren't they marvelous?
There are the Sotapic Dutch stones. Are you ready to try to give away 1,000 American bones?
Yes, I am.
We've got secret sound number 5, the impossible sound line straight ahead.
All right.
You get a shot if you're the 100th call right now.
At
1-877-365-3636.
You should know, Martha.
If you are listening to us in Las Vegas, it's 2:30 p.m. and the station you're listening to is 105.1 KVBC.
McPhee, yuck foo, the Don and Mike Show.
I just had a caller 100. Just a reminder what a ridiculous business we work in. I'm back looking at the inside radio thing.
Right.
Where they like print radio stock prices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they print happenings about disc jockeys. Disc jockeys in the news. And I'm reading about this guy I know.
I'm actually going to have to call this guy tonight.
This poor guy. This jockey named Kevin Matthews.
Okay.
Guy works in Chicago. I worked with him about 20 years ago. You know him, Buzz?
No, I don't.
He used to work at The Loop.
Ah, okay.
So, says here, last Thursday morning, got upset and left in the middle of his show. Was back doing his regular shift yesterday. Here's what happened. Issues pertaining to the show are why the program director went in during a commercial break and screamed at Kevin Matthews and told him to lay off the seriousness and concentrate more on being funny.
Oh, great. In the middle of the show, which is always the sign that a program director is in tune with what's going on.
Guy's playing commercials, and I guess he had done a serious rap about something.
Right, right.
The PD comes in and says, hey, enough serious, why don't you be funny? So, here's what Kevin Matthews does. They come back from the commercials. After 2 minutes and 20 seconds of dead air, he walked out.
Wow.
He just walked out.
Man.
And then the station went another 25 seconds before somebody finally recovered and played a record. So they had like 3 minutes of dead air before somebody played a record.
All you young program directors out there, really not a good idea to yell at the people that are on the air while they're on the air.
So, well, you shouldn't yell at them at any time, but certainly.
Absolutely. You should kiss them. Kiss the ground they walk on.
At least if you're going to give them crap, hotline them,
right?
Because when I used to have PDs with hotline me,
horrible though. You know,
that's bad.
You know, really, you've been a program director. I've been a program. You've been on the receiving end of hotlines. Isn't it one of the most horrible things in the world?
But you know what? At least if it's on the phone,
it's impersonal.
You can give lip service. You can do that thing. I used to have PDs really call me and tell me I'm talking too much. And while I was saying yeah, I would really be giving them the finger with one hand. I'd be holding the phone and going yeah. Because when it's on the phone, you just hang up and you go, okay,
well,
you know, F him. I'll placate him the next break.
I know.
And then he'll turn his radio off and I'll go back to doing what I want to do.
Walking in there, though, I mean, talk about a distraction.
That's the worst, though.
It's ridiculous.
P.D. Bill Gamble.
Yelling at somebody to be funny. Nothing makes a person funnier than yelling at them.
Be funny, you jerk! Quit the serious crap! I'm going upstairs into my office, and if I don't hear you be funny in the next 5 minutes, I'll come down here and put your headphones on myself!
You don't know how close to the truth that is.
Good luck to you!
I'll call him tonight. I got his phone.
Good.
Well, I bet he's getting some PR. Well, it made some national news.
Yeah, that's good. That's good when, you know, when you do that. And, you know, obviously it came from the soul.
Yeah.
Good for him. Hello.
Oh, I just disconnected that person. My apologies. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
What number am I?
Could you be any more impersonal?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have to work on your manners, young man.
I know.
You really do.
I've been trying so hard to get through.
Why don't we start afresh?
Okay, let's try this again.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Who is this?
This is Justin.
Justin, where are you from?
From Manteca.
Manteca?
Yeah.
Where is that, California?
Yeah, California.
Right. Excellent. Justin?
Yes.
Justin,
wait. I think I'm just realizing that I got through.
Yes, because of the delay, you probably just realized.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, Justin, listen. First,
this is Justin.
You are caller 100.
Yeah.
You've won the Denny's Greatest Hits meal. Try one of Denny's Greatest Hits starting at $2.99. Denny's Good Eats and Comfortable Seats. But wait, Justin, there's more. You qualify for Friday's weekly giveaway. This Friday, we're giving away a trip for two to Los Angeles.
trip with round trip air, three nights hotel, tickets to a taping of a CBS show. We're going to try to make it King of Queens. All courtesy of CBS.
Right on.
Right on. How old are you, kid?
19.
How's life at Taco Bell?
It's awesome. Love it. Because they're keep on. Actually, no, I don't even have a job. I'm going to college, so.
You're going to college, a local college?
Yeah, community college.
Community college.
13th grade. I got you. I know what that's all about.
Yeah, okay. All the weirdos and freaks there. And...
Right. Yeah, but, well, at least you feel at home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They make me feel special.
Well, Jeremy, have you heard?
How come you're not... Justin. It's Justin.
Oh, yeah,
it's
I call him Jeremy.
You have Jeremy on the brain, right?
Where'd that come from?
Talking about the program director.
Right, yes.
I'm amazed you're not watching TRL right now.
Oh, I hate MTV. No. No, I wouldn't do that to myself.
You hate MTV? That's
yeah, yeah. I'm more of a Mr. Show type of guy. I'd be watching Bob and David tapes.
Oh, those guys on HBO?
Yeah, yeah. That's my cup of tea right there.
I've got to be honest that I watch TRL.
What is TRL?
Total Request Live. It's that queer show with Carson Daly with all the little girls standing outside
Carson
the window.
Carson Daly, the ones that, with Jennifer Love Hewitt. Right?
Used
right.
to be with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Not any longer.
All right. Well, what I do like about TRL is that the music is all over the place because they have these kids that are all hepped up on goofballs and call in during the day to request songs.
Play this, man!
Right, and it goes like from a... let me get that in the bag, get that right out to you, Joseph.
They cut off all the good videos, and they play all the crappy videos. They play like Britney Spears and NSYNC or whatever, NSYNC.
Yeah, but they go like from NSYNC to Metallica. It's mm-hmm. like, it's a car wreck when you watch Total Request Live, because it's like all the metalheads call, right. And then all the 13-year-old girls call, and I guess they really play what the idiot kids call for.
Yeah.
So you'll have
yeah.
Britney Spears and then heavy metal acts. And,
yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And plus that guy Carson Daly. Mm-hmm. I am certainly no fan of his.
Yes, I know he's a big fan of yours.
But I got to tell you, I did get some perverse pleasure out of watching a guy so freaking nervous on live TV. Constantly looking out the window.
Probably more nervous now that Jennifer Love Hewitt's out of his life.
Yeah, and thank God she is.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank God she's moved on to greener pastures. Hey, you know who we just passed on last week to have as a guest on this show, incidentally, when he's in town, was Jesse Camp.
Jesse, the old guy that was the amateur that became a VJ?
Right. He was in town doing a concert.
Good. I like the fact that you passed on him. Good.
Yes, Mike. I just wanted to know for the record.
You passed on him just because, I mean, just to go, F you.
Right. We'll take the two kids that are still alive from Family Affair.
Ah, very sure. good, yes.
But we passed on Jesse Camp. I just want to let everybody know that there are occasionally guests mm-hmm. that are so low on the food chain that right. we actually pass them up.
Well, we also have had our experience with VJs, you know, and past VJs. Nina Blackwood would not be described as the greatest interview we've ever done.
What a ditz she was.
She sure was.
But good-looking woman, though.
Absolutely.
Good-looking woman.
Handsome woman. I'm not sure if she's still handsome. She was a little portly, wasn't she?
Yeah, she plumped up a little bit.
That's right.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
I'd like
Julie. I'd take Julie Brown. If she was offered, I'd like to have Julie Brown.
Downtown Julie Brown?
Yes, downtown Julie Brown.
Oh, yeah. I do not advocate violence, but I would love to smack her. I hate downtown Julie Brown.
Are we talking about that? Aren't there two Julie Browns?
There's the white Julie Brown.
Right.
Big obnoxious boobs.
Right.
Then there's the black Julie Brown who sure. wears like Dr. Seuss.
Hello, how are you? We got a great day.
That's as much. You know what? I guess it's a fun.
I'd
like to hit them both.
I see downtown Julie Brown. I've always liked what she tries to bring to the table. She always makes every effort to wear things that are skimpy, and I always and I dig that about her, man.
She's not even on MTV anymore.
No, she's like all over different shows.
She's on different channels now. Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Loder, I'd like you to...
Kurt Loder. Please. Don Imus is a better looking man than Kurt Loder.
Wow.
If that gives you any indication.
Sure.
There is a hot girl on MTV in the middle of the day, though.
Really? Now I got to check that out in the middle
hot
of the day.
Hot girl. I wish I knew her name. African American gal.
Mm-hmm.
So hot.
Really? She on the beach when she's doing the...
She's been on the beach.
Yeah,
yeah, she's been on the beach shows.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
A lot of times they have her sitting just in a chair in Times Square.
Igbe Espray.
Yes. Oh, and Uche Ippelsnay.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Ananda or something like that. Amanda, Ananda.
Was that the other individual that's on his couch for the middle of the day?
Yes, my TV viewing partner, Charlie Boyle, just put on the screen. Ananda, although I bet her name is Amanda.
Now, I thought Charlie occupied his time with watching the workout videos, you know, and not videos, but working at, you know, like ESPN2.
Kiana.
Kiana's Flex Appeal.
Yes. Sorry. Those shows are so obvious, it's hysterical. Yeah, I'm going to watch this show so I can work out.
It's porno, except the girls have on bathing suits.
Right. Now we're going to do another dance move on our little circles of vinyl in the beach. And with our nipples showing.
And Gilad. Gilad's body's in motion.
Gilad, that's slow motion. They're all running down the beach. Tell Gilad to move to the back row. Right. Bring those big-breasted women up to the front.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
I think I know the secret sound.
Well, excuse us for living, Justin.
Are you getting impatient?
No, of course not.
Of course,
I love hearing you guys talk.
Justin,
that's why I listen every day.
And we'll move into the contest phase.
I don't know why I like Justin. I just like Justin.
Everybody likes Justin.
That might just be subject to change, but for now, I do like Justin.
All right, Justin.
Yeah.
Here you go, Mr. Big Shot. Just want to ruin my whole MTV rap. Here you go. $1,000. Name the sound. Good luck.
Caller, name this noise.
You know the drill. Please don't give us your incorrect answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill. And growing up, would you find out if it's Amanda or Ananda? She's so hot. Yeah.
Thank you.
Before we get Justin's answer.
Thank you.
It was, as I typed it, Ananda.
Oh, Ananda.
Ananda.
Yeah. Ananda.
Like Nando.
Okay.
Ananda.
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 Yes.
Ananda.
You think she's hot?
No.
You don't think that girl's hot?
No, not hot.
You know, if she was Christina Ferrari's sister, her name would be Ananda Ferrari. Ananda Ferrari.
Would you do her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But she doesn't have to be hot.
What's your favorite one that you're watching now with the workouts on ESPN?
I don't watch those anymore. I'm here.
You don't?
I don't.
Really?
Really?
What was your favorite one you used to watch them?
Kiana.
Sure. Kiana.
That's Kiana's Flex Appeal. What are you enjoying for lunch today?
I had two turkey and Swiss cheese sandwiches.
Oh, boy. That's going to be lovely back there.
Some fruit.
Some fruit.
Some potato salad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great to get that can rot in your intestines.
And a cake.
Yeah. An entire layer of cake.
Well, it was a small one. A small cake.
Thank you, Charles.
Okay.
Right. Justin?
Yeah. Okay.
Justin, we are all now waiting.
Okay.
When Charlie says it's a small cake, he means it's not a wedding cake. It's a birthday-sized cake.
Justin, for $1,000, and Justin, listen, I'm positive you have it wrong, so just settle down. And
just chill out, Justin.
Enjoy your time on the show, Justin.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Just chill, man.
Okay.
How many piercings you have?
None.
How many tattoos you have?
What?
How many tattoos?
None.
Is your hair colored?
No, just regular.
You don't have dyed blonde hair on top?
No, I'm just a regular guy, you know, I don't try to, you know, freak myself out or anything.
Are you wearing a ski cap right now?
Yeah, no, I'm just, I haven't even gotten dressed yet, so it's only like 2 o'clock.
Oh, that's gross.
Hey, come on, guys.
A little 82-pound guy with lots of moles on his body right now.
No.
Okay, Justin, here's your moment in the sun for $1,000. What is secret sound number five?
Secret sound number five is the sound of an aluminum can being crushed.
Oh, we're sorry.
That sucks.
No.
That was a sucky guess.
No, it wasn't. Couldn't wait to guess that. That's an awful guess, Justin.
Horrible, Justin. One of the worst guesses we've had.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding.
You might as well have said stapler or opening a briefcase.
Or a gun with an empty chamber.
Has anybody guessed that? Jesus Christ, yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Learn to listen. Listen to learn.
Oh, God.
Okay.
You know, maybe if you paid attention more, you'd have a better crack at it.
Well,
but then again, maybe you wouldn't be going to the community college.
13th grade. All right. Thank you, Justin.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you. Oh, hold on, please.
Okay.
Hold on, please.
He was fun.
For your fabulous prize pack.
He really was a fun guy.
That was Justin, everybody.
Justin, I'm not wearing clothes right now.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you guys are talking about the pig old bitty girl on MTV. It's not Ananda. She's the little skinny black chick with the curly hair. She's got the small breasties. It's Jessica with the pig old bitties.
Jessica.
Jessica, okay.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure
she's
the name.
All I know, she's the one that's on like at 10 o'clock in the morning.
She won the VJ. She was the second one to win, and Jesse was the first. She was the second.
No, this girl that I like on MTV is way too polished and way too beautiful to have been an off-the-street girl.
You know, if you give her a snake's last name, she would be Ananda Anaconda.
Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
Hello there.
Hey, I just want to tell you, y'all are doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That was a great call.
That guy reminded me, just his pacing reminded me that my brother's going to call us today.
I tell your brother, too, I swear to God.
With a laugh?
I swear to God, it was the same thing with a ha-ha-ha-ha.
Called me last night.
Everything going okay?
Got himself a new job.
Excellent.
I'll tell us about it on today's show,
That's good. I hope everything's running smoothly in his life.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, you know those people that want to call in and guess the briefcase and what's the other one?
What
have to do?
What?
They have to pay attention.
Please.
Thank you.
I guess that's what he was looking
for. Yeah, that's what he wanted.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike about this file I got, downloaded file with some re-rate girls at the tournament. And they got all these great NCAA tournament goes.
Okay, first off, you can't say the S word. You're on the radio with us.
Okay.
Second, the concept that you're describing, which is like a Final Four ranking system of women. We've already done it on this show, like 2 years ago. We invented it.
Well, I'm telling you, this is a great thing because it's all just a big racket.
Wait, excuse me. We know that because we invented it.
We originated inventing women. We have our own brackets.
Raising women. We did not originate inventing women. From the Don and Mike Laboratories,
you know
they have got some beautiful inventions. Please welcome Kathy Ireland.
She's okay, one of our... if I could just say one more thing.
No. Let me finish here. We invented rating women, the entire system of putting women on a scale,
right.
Giving them a number.
No one has turned women into objects the way we have turned them into objects.
And furthermore, we have rated, at last count, 137 different women.
That's pretty outstanding, don't you think, sir?
Absolutely. Way to go.
And the fact that someone else has taken our idea, frankly, disgusts me.
Well, frankly, it does. Got a great show. I just want to say, Danny Oceanhorn.
I'll tell you right now, Leanne Rimes. I don't know what we were drinking that day, but we rated her at a 4.5, both of us.
Wow. That's not right.
Leanne Rimes, 4.5 for both of us.
You know, when we started that out, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, we got to redo this, man.
Clear heads have not prevailed.
Okay, let me see. Diaz. I gave her a 5.
Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gave her a 6.5.
Yeah, I'm still stand by that one.
See, I would raise mine there. I think I was a little wrong there.
Yeah.
Okay. Courtney Cox.
Mm-hmm.
I give her a 5.5. You gave her a 4.8.
Stand by that one.
I would lower it now. Yeah. Now that she's anorexic, I'd lower her to a 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? We got to do this. We got to
get... show those two examples you give me show that I have great foresight. That women now, they both now, you have to find examples where I would come to your rating.
All right, hold on.
Because I know they've got to be a few over there.
You know, I don't know. I can't help but just look at my ratings, Mike.
I know.
Not at yours.
I understand.
I'm seeing... oh, boy. Okay, here's what we both screwed up.
Okay.
Crystal Bernard.
From Wings.
Yeah, we both give her a 3.5. It's like way too generous, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. But 3.5 is not a good grade. It's not a strong grade.
Right.
No, but...
I wouldn't put her in the twos. You get down to the twos, you're starting to knock on Janarino's door.
All right, Daisy Fuentes.
All right, yeah, we disagreed, BM, and we still do on Daisy Fuentes.
Well, you gave her a 5.5.
Yeah, what'd you give her?
I give her a 6.
I'd like to lower mine.
And I'd like to raise mine.
Okay. there we go. Now we're far apart on that one.
I would raise my Daisy Fuentes to a 7. Have you seen her beer commercials?
Yes, yeah, and I just think she's too portly.
She's so hot. No, more cushion for the pushing. She's fine. All right, here's another one I'd like to rate up.
All right.
Jillian Anderson. We both had her rated at a 2.5.
I'm going to hold at my 2.5.
No, I'll see your 2.5 and raise your 2.5.
You started getting into the X-Files. You bring her up to a 5?
I bring her up to a solid 5.
All right, very good.
Okay, and oh, here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Moon Pie Face. Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, so out of the public eye now.
I had given her a 6.8.
You had the hots for her. What did I give her? What did I give her?
4.
Oh, good. Hey, I'd lower my 4.
I would move her down to a 4.
Okay. I'd give her maybe about a 3.
Right, let me see. All right, let's find out if you're any softer, pun intended, on Vivica A. Fox.
Is she waiting to exhale?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Right. Isn't that Will Smith's wife?
Yeah, I think so.
8. You give her an 8.
Yeah, I'd lower that.
Yeah.
I'd lower that.
Okay. How about...
No, Jada Pinkett Smith is Will Smith.
You are correct. Right. Jacqueline Bisset. You have her rated so high.
What did I rate her?
An 8.5.
I'd have to lower that. I'd have to lower that on simple math.
No, but simple gravity. When you graded Jacqueline Bisset, you both graded her in The Deep. In that one scene in The Deep.
So that was like a static grade for her. What did you give her in The Deep?
I see. Jacqueline Bisset, 80s. Oh, I give her an 8.
Yeah.
For that T-shirt scene.
Oh, absolutely. She was the hottie of hotties in the 80s.
All right, here's one that I would definitely grade up. Jennifer Lopez. I gave her a 4.5 because her ass is so big.
Right.
But I'm into her now. I'd give her a 6.5.
What did I give her?
3.
I'll raise that. I'll raise that to a 4.
That's very big of you.
Thank you.
Okay, here's one that maybe you want to rethink.
Okay.
Christina Applegate. I believe I correctly rated her at a 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
You have her at a 5.2.
You're right. You found that one. I will bring that. I'd like to bring that down to a 4.5.
Okay, now hold on. Here you go. This one, my master stroke, I believe.
Okay, very good.
Okay, the very pale, the very very anorexic Winona Ryder.
Right.
I gave Winona Ryder what I thought was a very generous 1.4.
Oh, you're so wrong about that.
You piled on with a 7.5.
Holding fast on the
7.5. Oh, I can't believe that.
I'm a beautiful young Winona Ryder.
I can't believe
I say Winona like the country. Winona Ryder. I'd like to pronounce her name correctly. Winona. And I think she's going to get... I remember this. I think she is going to get much better with age.
Okay, what about Jamie Lee Curtis? What would you rate Jamie Lee Curtis today?
I'd give her about a 2.
Okay, you had her rated at a 4.5.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to bring her down to a 2 now.
I had her at a 2.5.
Okay, now see, there you go. You were right on with that.
Now it's evening out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shania.
Yes.
I have her at an 8, and I would say that's a strong, solid number. I'd stay there. You have her at a 7.
Yeah, I'd keep it at a 7.
Really? Only at a 7?
I like Faith Hill, too. Did we ever rate Faith Hill? I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
She's a hottie, too.
She's like a 4.6, 4.7.
I'd give her a nice solid 5.
Okay. Let me see. Okay, here's what we both want to rethink. I know this.
All right.
Jodie Foster.
Oh, dear.
I gave her a 3.
I know I graded her highly, didn't I?
You graded her a 2.9. We both...
Oh, well, we did.
Well, what do we think? We both graded Jodie Foster at nearly a 3.
Jodie Foster can look okay in certain roles.
Yeah, but no, that's
she's a good actress. That's what I like about Jodie Foster.
Well, we are simply rating these girls physically.
Keep her at a 3.
All right, here's what I'm going to move down. Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
I had her at a 6.4.
Oh yeah, way too high.
She's a 4.5.
What did I give her?
5.
Okay, I'm going to actually lower it down to a 4.
Okay. How about Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Oh.
What would you rate her now?
About a 7.
Yeah, you gave her a 7, too, before.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Well, that's incredible.
I gave her a 6, which is, incidentally, the correct rating. her nose is all funky.
You got a point there.
She got that square nose thing.
I had her at a 7, too?
Yep.
I'd lower her to a 7 based on the nose.
Okay. How about this? No. How about this?
How about this?
Vanessa Williams, what would you rate her today?
I gave her an incredibly high grade before, but she got married to that big dorky guy.
Rick Fox.
I have to lower her to a 6.
Wow, that's a tumble. That's a tumble. That's down from an 8.5.
Yeah, I don't know what I was saying. Unless she was single, I was lost.
Well, I'm afraid I will have to agree.
Mm-hmm.
I will move her down to a 6.5.
Right.
And that is from a 9.1.
Yeah, yeah. There's still my lady that's up there in the top that I would still maintain my...
Ireland?
Yes, Ireland forever.
You give her a 9.
Yeah.
I give her a 4.
Oh, my God, man, what's wrong with
She's
you?
A big horse.
She is not a big horse.
That cow from the Waltons is hotter than Kathy Ireland.
Well, but you know something? When we go to that party, we can bear off that way. You can have the cow from the Waltons and I'll take Kathy Ireland.
Okay. Jennifer Aniston. I gave her an 8.3.
What did I give her?
An 8.
I'd hang in there with an 8.
I'm going to have to raise Jennifer Aniston a full point.
Wow.
I'm going to have to raise Aniston to a 9.3.
Have we ever rated Leah?
Yes.
We have? We both give her 10s?
We had both given her 6.3. Before we got to know her.
All right, we'll keep a low profile on that one.
Right. She's definitely...
You stand by that one?
A 6.3?
I like putting you on the spot. You know,
absolutely not, Mike.
This game only works when the first person asks the question.
Absolutely not.
I agree.
The real rating on Leah, really?
Very high 8.
Really?
Very high 8.
Okay. Can I change mine, too? I give her a 10.
All right, I'm sure that we'll get back to her. But I happen to know she appreciates honesty in a man. Okay? What about, Helen Hunt? What do you give her now?
2.
A 2? Down from a 5?
Yeah, I gave her a 5.
You give her a 2?
She was 2.
Oh, that is an insult.
I give her a 2.
Helen, if you're listening.
Oh, we're sorry.
We're sorry, listen. 2.
Gravity has definitely taken its toll on
me. My book, Helen... You're still a 9.
Are you still going to stay with that 9?
A 9.
I'd have to lower her grade.
A 9.
I gave her a 5 to placate you when we were doing
She's
that.
She's hot. And furthermore, I'm going to move another woman into the 9s.
All right.
I'm going to move Anne Heche up from a 7.9 to a 9.0.
What did I give Anne Heche? Yes, Charlie.
5.5.
That's a list of some women you wanted to rate at another time, so there you go.
Oh, okay.
You know what? We'll get into this on another show.
Right.
Okay, then we were at Anne Heche, though.
Anne Heche.
What did I rate her originally?
Hold on, Anne Heche. You have her at a 5.5.
She's gotten better. I'm going to stay at that 5.5.
Oh!
That's a good grade. That's a good solid 5.5.
She's a 9.
That's above average.
She's a solid 9.
Well, you're passionate for these emaciated women. These women like Helen Hunt and Anne Heche with their skinny arms.
Well, Aniston's not emaciated.
No, she's not. No, Aniston is...
very hot for her.
Very, very hot.
I'm hot for...
You got Jennifer Lopez. She's rather zoftic.
Yeah, she got a huge ass.
Right.
I already gave her a very good grade.
It's the Heche Hunt.
Okay, here's...
Say that 10 times quick.
I'd like to see the Heche Hunt. Here's what I'm going to move way down. Way down. I don't know what I was thinking. Rene Russo.
Thank you. We had an argument about that.
I saw her topless in the Thomas Crown affair.
What did I give her? What did I give her originally?
You gave her a 5.
See, once again, being nice, I'll bring you right down to a 3.
I had her at a 6.8, and I'll meet you halfway at a 4.
All right, a 4.
At a 4.
A 4, and I hope someone's keeping a record of these changes.
Me too.
Because this is a list that has to be kept up to date.
Right. I'm glad that guy called to tell us that somebody stole that idea.
Otherwise, you're not doing your job as a broadcaster if that list is not kept up to date.
Okay. Well, maybe tomorrow we'll dive into this.
That's a good... Who are just give me one of the new ones that Charlie has.
Brandi Chastain.
Mm-hmm.
Claire Danes.
Yeah.
Heather Graham.
Yeah.
We've never rated Lisa Kudrow.
We haven't.
We've never rated Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Oh, boy.
Mm. We've never rated that awful singer Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, God. Ew. That's a weird list.
And is that like the soundtrack to blow your brains out when her songs come on? I will remember you. Boom! I will remember you.
We never rated Tracy Lords, the porn star.
We've never rated her?
Nope.
I got caught the other, 3 weeks ago watching that on the, I think it was probably the E! Network, when they're doing a profile of Tracy Lords. I'd really be interested in that because I want to, follow young actresses' careers. Tracy Lords in the porn industry. What are you watching? Documentary?
Yeah, right. On E! Exclamation point. That is the worst channel in the world, incidentally.
It is.
I can't believe, every month I want to take 50 cents off my bill just to say, I can't believe I'm paying for this channel.
Log some time, though, when they were profiling the life and career of Tracy Lords. Fascinating career.
We've also never rated Isabella Rossellini.
That's an interesting one.
We've never rated Selma Hayek.
Mm.
We have never rated Toni Braxton or Tia Carrera, the girl that was Wayne Campbell's girlfriend.
I've got one we've never rated. We've never rated Morgana.
Morgana, the kissing bandit.
The kissing bandit.
Do you remember when she came on our show?
She smelled.
With those big feed bags from her chest.
She was like, really, you saw old footage of when she'd run out on the field, and you realize that she was this young, foxy woman with big breasts kissing like Raleigh fingers.
Yeah, right. Brooke Robinson.
She comes in here as a 60-year-old woman.
Right. Hey, boys. Hey, how are you? I'm Morgana, kissing bandit. Looks like the lady in the Playboy cartoon.
That's what she looks like.
Well, we will absolutely rate these women on another
episode. That's good.
Maybe
all
tomorrow.
All right.
Devote an entire part of the show to re-rating women.
That's interesting. There's some strange women. Isabella?
Isabella.
Rossellini.
Rossellini.
I look forward to that one.
2.5.
Tell
you right now. Too skinny.
Might actually match your rating there, 100%.
And when we agree incidentally,
yes,
that's when there's no arguing.
No, not at all. That's when, the definitive rating.
When we agree, like on the case, are we agreed?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Any of you guys out there listening right now, forget about it. She is
a 2.5.
A 2.5. There's no wiggle room on that.
Absolutely. And, of course, it can change, like, down the road. But in Isabella Rossellini's case, don't expect for that grade to go up.
We will be back. Be back with more after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sports Olympics.
Planet Orbs of Radio Excellence. Don and Mike.
Well, you've been informed on the screen that our changes that we've made on the list thus far
have been recorded.
Has made Leah Remini now the number one overall choice.
All right. Fantastic.
Won't she be happy to hear that?
She will be delighted. That is the right way to play that game.
Well, man, it's true, man.
Yes, it is.
Now, come on.
Yeah, of course it is.
She's so hot.
She is hot.
Hello?
Very hot. Beautiful lady. Beautiful special lady.
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I'm a little bit late, but the young lady you were talking about on MTV.
Yeah.
Her name is Thalia.
Do you know the one I'm talking about? The one that's like on...
She's a light complexion, wavy hair, really, really pretty.
No, that's not the girl I'm talking about. No, she's the girl who's on Isle of MTV all the time.
What, does she usually have a nighttime show?
No, I see her during the day.
Oh, really? Well, the newest one, I know the newest one on there is Thalia, and she does have big old bitties.
Big boobs on this
girl. Yeah, nice,
big,
pretty bitties.
And big, I, for one, like all the beach
stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm a boob, man.
I think more beach stuff, the better on MTV. I like them at the beach.
I think they need more nudity on TV.
Except, you know what? I can do without the guy in a Hawaiian shirt.
Why do we need guys at all on MTV?
On MTV? Oh, I don't know.
We really shouldn't. It should be nothing but women. It should be,
Like, we're here at the beach house with all the girls, and none of you guys can get in. And then have all the, you know, the mutant guys down on the beach that can't get into the beach house. And then have all the girls, like, frolicking, playing volleyball with their beach balls and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, it would be obscured, so you'd be able to get it by the senses. But, like, way back in the corner. Maybe you could even pixelate it, but you'd have a couple of women that are just sitting there without any tops.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Sure.
And no more blame game, please. I'm so sick of a blame game on MTV. Have you seen the blame game?
No.
I
watch very little.
They have the guy
MTV.
with the like
MTV.
the olden time.
Why do you hate MTV, Buzz?
Because for one thing, they don't play music. That's what I want in my MTV is music.
They got a guy that comes on with one of those olden time wigs, like the judge.
I think I have seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he sits up on a big podium, and then a girl comes out and says what's wrong in the relationship.
It's
the
totally,
guy comes out.
Totally yeah. jive. It's like
100% stage.
It's like Jerry Springer without the edge.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Oh, hold on a second.
It's all game shows and stuff now.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello, hi.
Hello, hi, hi. Hello.
Still here?
Yes, hello.
Yes, still here. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, can you hold on one moment? I'll be right with you.
Sure thing.
Hold on. You're not going to believe this. During the commercial set, on her request line,
yes,
get one of these goddamn AT&T solicitors.
You're kidding me.
No. So the guy says, are you currently an AT&T subscriber? And I told him, no, that I'm a Sprint subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can string him on a little bit, okay?
AT&T is my choice.
Okay.
100%. 100,000%.
Well, that's what he's selling.
Ah, good.
So we should probably go the opposite way.
Oh, I'm sorry. They sponsored the golf tournament yesterday. I have to play golf with a bunch of those guys from AT&T yesterday.
Well, then this is nothing personal.
Nothing personal, but I'm going to have to, the show first. Let's get him done.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Okay. Sorry about that. As I was stating before, you only spend about $40 per month. What I want to do.
Can you hold on a moment, please?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. He asked me how much I spend a month.
Just $40.
$40 a month.
$40 a month.
Right.
Yes. Hello. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's okay. No problem. Like I said.
Can I ask your name again, please?
My name is Cameron Osborne.
Can you hold on a minute?
Okay.
Why don't you ask to bring your father in? You live in your father's house.
All right, okay.
All right, all right. Hey, listen, Cameron?
Yes.
I got to be honest with you that I live with my father.
Okay.
And so he's going to have to pick up the phone.
Okay.
Because, half the bills are his. So, Dad?
Hello.
Dad, this is Cameron.
Who?
Cameron.
Who?
Cameron.
Cameron who?
I think he is a phone solicitor.
Yeah, I'm on behalf of AT&T.
I don't want any stuff. Don't. What are you selling?
We're selling long distance.
No. You've made me late already. I don't want to take any. I don't buy anything,
Dad,
from the what?
Dad, this man has something to tell us.
Well, he's selling something, for Christ's sake. He's selling something. That's what he's doing.
Well,
he's selling
Let you just save money on your phone bill.
Well, don't interrupt me, for God's sake. What are you selling?
Dad, listen.
Jesus. I don't want to deal with a solid. I told the guy that came to the door that he can sell it there. You know what I'm talking about.
Listen, I'm gonna go
what
get,
does this fellow want?
I'm going to go get Mom. Okay, let me be Mom, okay?
Very good.
Okay, you ready? You have to talk to him when Mom comes to the phone.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
All right, my son's getting my wife on the phone.
Okay.
All right, she should be on in a moment. I don't talk to her. Mother?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Talk
hello?
To this man. He wants to sell something.
Yes, hello?
Yes, sir.
Father?
Yes.
Would you rub my feet? Of course, please rub my feet.
Go ahead, son. Well, you don't have much time. You've made us late already.
Hello?
Mother, how's that? Do you want it between the toes?
Yes. Oh, all the way down. Oh, that's so good, Father.
Oh, what hello. The hell is this? What is this?
Oh, who is this?
Go ahead. Speak up, son.
Yes, hello? This is Cameron Osborne calling on behalf of AT&T.
All right.
American,
he's a phone guy.
American Telephone and Telegraph?
Yeah.
They can suck my ass.
Mother.
I told you,
disgusting. You don't need to talk.
I mean
she
it,
Father. She doesn't know. She's not right. She's not right, and she's using bad, bad words. Don't, please. Mother, don't talk like
they
that.
They can just suck my ass.
No, that is so horrible. Oh, I remember when you were young and lovely. You didn't speak like that. This is a total affront.
I invented the telephone.
She's not well.
I want to tell you that...
She's not well when she says that thing about, you know, sucking.
My son, Charles Broyhill, do you know the many, many bills he's rung up calling the 1-800 I wanted in the rear lines?
Oh, no. Now, Mother, don't do that.
And Dad, you know when I called American Telephone and Telegraph?
Yeah.
I said, I want my money back because my son has called this line, and they said no.
Oh,
and I said,
yeah.
Well, American Telephone and Telegraph can just suck my ass.
Oh, my.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
I am a ma'am.
Yeah, this is... You're talking to... the boy you called initially, he's gone to his room.
Well, actually,
and now you're talking to a man and a woman, so please don't say sir.
Hello.
Say folks or ma'am and sir. Can you do that?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? I'm having trouble understanding you.
Hello, there's a woman on the line and a man on the line. I'm the woman.
I'm a man. What?
We could just schedule a call back.
There you don't bother. You don't call back. Don't call back, for God's sake. Please.
Bye-bye.
Please. Go away!
Hello.
Tell him that thing you said again. Go ahead, I'm with
American
you.
Telephone and Telegraph can just suck my ass.
Oh, my mother. Oh, dear. Hello?
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
Young man.
Cameron.
Cameron?
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
You frightened him. There he goes. Well, wouldn't you be frightened, too?
Since when does a stupid solicitor call a request line for a radio set?
I can't figure... Well, they have so many calls to make. Occasionally, those digits don't go where they're supposed to.
Let me see if I can...
Star 69.
This feature cannot be activated because the number is outside the serving area.
He's on a small island off the coast of Borneo.
Oh, that's too bad.
We have to do a break. We will be back with more in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
What was great about doing this show?
That you really never know what's happening.
what I mean by that is, I was just sitting back at Broyhill's list.
Right.
Checking my email.
Mm-hmm.
Telling Mike about, I was emailing a guy in a trade publication trying to get some press about our King of Queens thing. As it turns out, Broyhill had already told this guy, and this guy had already written an article about it.
Already in there.
But when I was looking through Broyhill's clipboard, I see an affiliate list for our show.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever gotten a call from Anchorage, Alaska?
Never.
According to the affiliate list, we got a station at 94.7.
I thought we had a station in Alaska and then they dropped us.
We did. Nay, that station never went on the air.
That station was building an antenna on some ground that they weren't sure about, so they just quit building it because they found out it was on a fault line. So they quit.
And that station never went on the air.
Okay, so Anchorage is not.
This list, by the way,
yeah,
is really effed.
Oh, all right, so the station, but it was a different station that it says we're on in Anchorage.
It says there are what is
our total? What is our total of affiliates? What is the total number?
I don't know.
I haven't counted them. I have them over here.
I say 50.
About 50.
Say,
50.
For a while, it was 62.
Right.
And then it was down to like 45.
All right. We you know, time to get that great network of ours to kick it into overdrive. I know we say nice things about it.
Yeah, I know.
Go,
I know.
Go, 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 go.
What do you think about these stations in Anchorage, Alaska? Mike, I do know that we're not on an Albuquerque anymore.
We're not, yeah, that was a mess.
All right.
Yes, that was an ugly mess.
Maybe you're right about
yes,
that.
But according to this list, we are.
Okay, see, that's the problem.
So the list is in need of updating.
Yes, but this list, the date I have as an update was, I think, October 12th.
Give me the one from Anchorage, because it says
there's two in Alaska.
It says we went on an Anchorage, Alaska on August 30th.
Are we on in Juneau?
No, it's Anchorage.
I don't know. See, the station you're talking about is another station.
There's two of them in Alaska.
There's one in Anchorage at 94.7.
And that's the one that's new.
What do you mean?
I think that's new.
Well, that was my point.
But I think the one that had the fault line that stopped is because we were on. I remember you made the announcement that we're going to be on in Anchorage.
That was an AM station.
KABN.
Right, remember
radio.
It was going to be Cabin Radio.
But that was the station that pulled the plug for now the reason that you just explained. This Anchorage station is a new affiliate.
I you may know more. This list, like I said,
it sounds like it's a new affiliate. I never remember two stations in Alaska. I remember
it
one.
It says Anchorage, Alaska, KADX 94.7.
Atlantic Local and National 411.
And okay, then here's
the in state.
Anchorage, Alaska.
What listing?
KADX FM.
Thank you. Please.
And then the other one, Mike, Big Lake, Alaska.
I'm sorry, in Anchorage, what was the letters for the station?
A baby. K-A-D-X.
K-A-D, like David, X?
Yes, D as in dildo, X as in X-rated.
Oh, give us a moment, please.
But the other station is the one, K-A-B-N, that never went on the air. The one that's
K-A-B-M?
Big Lake Long something, Alaska. K-A-B-N. Remember, it was going to be Cabin Radio?
Right.
Oh, you're on the radio, lady. I should have told you that. I
have a good name for a station on the West Coast. K-M-B-M. Nice BM radio.
I didn't see the one in Anchorage called K-A-D-X.
K-A-D-X?
It might have been because they built their tower on a fault.
Oh, uh-oh.
Yes.
All right, so you've never heard of K?
A.
A as in?
Apple.
Anal. D as in dyke. And X as in?
X-ray. X-rated. No.
Yes, that's right. There's no such station.
No, I don't see those call letters.
Boy,
Anchorage.
That means they don't exist.
Okay.
How can we get on our affiliates list a station that doesn't exist?
I don't know.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know. All right, thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
see, that's why
party girl.
That's why we don't know exactly how many stations we're on.
She didn't get fazed by your stuff at all. Normally, the older ones hang right up. She likes
what
it.
What was... Did you say dildo? See, if you go by this list, it says 67 stations. But they're counting, like, obviously, these two stations in Alaska that don't know us from a hole
in Albuquerque.
Oh, and Albuquerque's still on this list also.
So, I don't know. This has got to be updated, I guess. I'd love to be on in Alaska.
You should leave that stuff sitting around where I can see it. You should hide
it
that.
It wasn't laying around where you could see it. You
I'd like to do a remote in Alaska.
I would love to do a cruise remote in Alaska.
Sure.
That'd be great.
That'd be wonderful. Fantastic.
Be careful you don't get sick.
Okay. All righty. Lots of inside stuff going on here.
And you shouldn't leave stuff sitting around where I can see it.
I know that about food.
Okay. Even when I... The reason I looked is that it was on your clipboard. You had your stuff for our Redskin show there.
There's nothing in here I cared that you saw.
It wasn't a secret. Okay. Well, just keep it from me then. Because I'm just upset about it now.
Okay.
But you can't help but look.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I got out of that habit years ago. I don't look anymore.
I can't help but look. Because now I'm going to be consumed by this now. Mm-hmm. Wondering how come we're not
even
on an Anchorage.
If I left it in the drawer in there, you would still
look. I would look.
So we're on nowhere in Alaska at all.
None.
Nope.
Those dandy fellows at Westwood just... They don't give me a good list.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. Hey, listen, is there really a girl here?
Yes.
For the contest?
It's always very exciting when you hear Charlie Boyd. He'll use the word
dandy.
All right, well, wheel her in then. Wheel her in, yeah, sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, radio gods. Hey, happy belated to you, Buzz.
Thank
Robbie,
you.
You're doing a beautiful job. I just called to say, guys, you do one hell of a job.
Is this Rick Learjet Leary?
No. This is Steve out of Sacramento.
Steve,
and you know what? It's 329 here in Sacramento. I just called to say you guys are doing a beautiful job.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Hello, Donna. Mike, your oldest girl's got long hair, Mike.
She does?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Fantastic.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Awesome. Great. You guys are bitching. Hey, man. I just wanted to call and try something on you. It may sound idiotic. Go ahead. You know, tear me a new ass or whatever. But this contest you've been doing, I drive for a living. I drive a tow truck. I don't ever get a stop and get my damn phone to get with you and play along.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw a guess in. You don't have to tell me if I'm
wrong. No. We got a lady in here that's going to do it legit.
She's going to
try a guess. Hi, what's your name?
What is your name?
Boy, you got a big head of hair.
It's Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. Where are you from?
Manassas.
Well, you do have a lot of long hair.
Yes.
You must be extremely confident.
I'm extremely confident.
You are.
I'm really scared.
Okay, now listen. Even though you appear to be a delightful, charming woman, very hot, I will cut a stripe right down the middle of your head, all the way from front to back.
I was fully prepared for that. I've been debating this for about 3 hours now.
Really? So you've been listening to The Secret Sound today?
I've been listening for a couple weeks and trying to call in for the past 4 days, and I keep getting a busy signal.
Okay, I'll tell you this, and if you get it, you will double it. You win $2,000 because you had the balls to come down here and risk your hair.
Amazing.
No kidding.
And for a girl, that's a lot. Now,
you know, this is, unlike all the guys and that last woman, I am rooting for this lady right now.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that
a lot.
Although I also think I know you
want to get your head.
This is very exciting.
She's confident.
You really do seem very confident.
What do you do?
I'm actually a mother of twins.
Real
twins.
How old are they?
7 months.
Oh, so you're still breastfeeding?
Actually, I quit after 5 weeks.
Quitter.
You try to intuit things.
All right, okay. Touche, you have a boy.
Boys or girls?
Boys.
Twin boys.
Twin boys.
Wonderful.
Well, you could certainly use the money, and really, I'm rooting for you. Good luck. We'll do it just like we do with the people on the telephone.
You want to use my headphones?
No.
Okay.
She's confident.
Please don't answer until Mike's single. I can't kill.
Good luck.
Caller, name this noise.
Right, there's the sound. And now, since she had the balls to come down here to the studio, we'll double that for $2,000 or a reverse mohawk.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
The moment of truth. What is secret sound number 5?
It is a binder notebook.
Would you please repeat that?
It is a binder notebook.
Name this noise.
No, that's not.
Oh, we're sorry.
You are so confident. I would tell you,
if you're even close, you're not remotely close. Step on over to my side of the console, please.
What's your first name again?
Danielle,
good luck. You're going to have a striped,
beautiful,
long
brown hair.
This is our first woman. She's not real happy about it. She was very confident.
You know, and there's a part of me that thinks...
so sad.
There's a part of me that thinks we shouldn't do this, but...
Look at her face if you think that. Look at that.
Take your glasses off, Danielle.
We have to do that. We said we have to.
Sure.
We lose the respect of our listeners.
Where do I want this? Like this or like this?
Fix it for me the way I want it here.
Like that, and you may want to start from the back.
Start from the back?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it'll be against the grain. You'll get an easier cut.
Okay, Danielle, why don't you step over here? Turn around, please. Do you want me to start right, back here?
Hold your hair up, Danielle. There you go.
All right, okay. All right, here we go.
That'll do it. Oh, dear.
Oh, my. She got some long hair, man. Are you sure? Oh, go up.
Yeah.
All right.
But a little bit around like this.
What? Oh, okay. All right, here we go. All right, Daniel, here we go.
We're going to fight in the twins.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Daniel, how you doing over there?
I'm okay.
Uh-oh. There's some of your hair, Daniel.
All right, very good.
All right, I'm going to even this up now, Daniel. All
right.
I do have a steady hand in this.
No.
Danielle, you're not in any pain, right?
No.
Very good. You're just wishing this would be over with.
Yes.
It will be over shortly.
Okay, well, you have to start. But I'm going to do the front now.
Yeah, do the front.
Yeah.
Right.
Her hair is so long down
she'll
to her shoulders.
She'll be able to get away with that.
She will be able to hide this.
All right.
Won't look right.
It won't look right.
Well, you guessed.
You guessed incorrectly.
That's right. Robin? Yeah.
Okay, here
all right,
we go.
This is the
all
one
right.
That's going to... They pull your hair back.
All right.
But here we go.
There you go. There it is, right up the middle.
I'm going to give you another
one more pass. The machine's not jamming up, is it?
What's the longest hair ever?
Now, this one's going to be hard for her to hide, the front.
Okay, here we go.
Coming back up the middle.
She had bangs.
There we go. What's Danielle, can you tell us what you're thinking right now? Do you regret coming down here?
Kind of.
Okay. And all the way.
At least I actually guessed.
Yeah, and let's give Danielle a round of applause.
And true to her word,
she got the haircut. All right, let's take a look.
You know what? That's
fine.
I cannot inflict any more damage on poor Danielle.
All right, do we have the mirror for Danielle?
Yeah, bring Danielle over.
Let's
there.
All right, the mirror.
God damn it.
This is very unique.
Is.
You know, there are some certain bars down in D.C. where that will be a good look.
I mean this, Danielle. I really, really respect you.
All right, here we go.
I really do.
You know, her hair is so long, it's actually... All right, there it is.
Okay.
And there it is. Okay.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. That is the spirit right there.
You're the man, Danielle.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean that.
Does anybody know a good wig shop?
A good wig shop. Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you very much. And see, there
you
the
put
hat.
A hat on.
Nobody knows the difference.
Absolutely. Okay, well,
Danielle, thank you.
You had courage to come down there. Maybe you can, like, have that made into a what do they call the extension? Hair extensions or something like that.
Who knows?
Thank you. You're so nice. I wish you'd won. I really
now,
do.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Of course.
Can I find out what the actual sound is off the air?
You promise not to tell?
Swear.
Okay, come here. I'll tell you.
All right.
I mean, we can trust her, right?
Well,
I'll tell you, like, if your husband calls in or something, honey, we're going to have to sue you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that's... I don't mean to be...
should I not tell her?
I don't think you should.
I feel so bad for her.
I think
her.
You just... That everybody raised holy hell if you did.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about
you know,
he's
probably right.
In our listening audience. You know, but we will... You know, I'm sorry we can't tell you that because, you know, it's...
Well, I'll tell you'll kick yourself, though, and you know what it is.
I'm sure I will.
You'll kick yourself.
And besides, you're going to be giving clues. You're really only going to have to wait about a week. It'll
yeah,
be revealed.
You know what, right.
It's
I
a tremendous burden for anyone to know.
Can we give her a prize or something? Can we give her something good? Do we have any good stuff?
Mike, we have a greatest hits meal at Denny's. Try one of Denny's greatest hits starting at $2.99. Denny's good eats.
So bad.
And comfortable seats.
Your face is like it's written all over your face.
Yeah.
I thought you had it.
Well, I'll put you in the running for this trip on Friday. Okay, the trip to L.A., the CBS trip.
Excellent.
Okay.
And Denny's is the kind of restaurant you can wear a hat to.
Absolutely.
Okay,
sorry, Dan.
Okay. And you look good. You know, I will tell you, you look good in the hat. You really do.
She does. Let me just see you one more time without the hat, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Look at that. Mike, I got to tell you. I miss my calling.
You know, freaking barber. She has enough hair where she's going to be able to cover that up.
There you go, Dad.
You know how she's going to cover it up? You could do that right now, and I know that, and you'd be amazed at it. All she has to do is put
comb
a part
over?
On the side. Look.
Yeah, but...
Everything but the front where the bangs disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know what? I bet a week or so you'll be okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
You'll be fine.
Thanks, Danielle.
She's about ready to cry.
Thanks so much.
She's about ready to cry.
She took the punishment, though.
She did. She's a lady of her word. And I feel alive.
Oh, God.
I feel alive for the first time in my life. I'm alive.
Oh, finally.
Oh,
a woman
you're killing
with
me.
Balls.
You're killing me.
She's got balls.
She does.
Oh, I applaud that. I swear to God.
She does. She
oh, I
want to
tell her the freaking answer.
Sure.
I really want to tell her.
Don't.
I won't.
You can't do it.
You
don't
can't
worry.
Do that. It would screw up the contract.
I know. She deserves something better.
I know.
Other than that beautiful haircut I just gave.
Other than that meal. Which was a bigger prize. Not that a meal at Denny's is not a nice prize.
Mike, the next girl that comes down.
Uh-huh.
Falls on you.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Well, if you feel you can't.
I know. I'll turn that over to you.
I'm alive!
You know, I might have to. You know, you're so exhilarated. You're so happy. And I felt like so crappy looking at her. I turn that over to you. If you want to do it, it's yours. But if you'd like a partner in crime, I will do it. Whatever way you want to do it,
I think
will do
you
it.
Should I think you should do it.
It's like, why do I feel like we're committing war crimes here or something like that?
No, listen, it's a contest.
It's a contest. We made the rules. See, it was by choice.
Same rules for girls as boys. You know, except we had every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanted to come down and do it when it was open to guys.
It was her. The last girl that was here, I wouldn't have had this. It was that face that Danielle had. That face where she was so confident and then, you know, the face fell as soon as she didn't have it.
She's got balls.
Yes, she does indeed.
And I dig that about you, Dan.
I really do.
Well, Buzz, try to top that with your news show now.
Impossible, but I can tell you about the President's Bizarro Golf Game.
Oh, okay. President's Bizarro Golf Game, everybody.
I got a hole in one. Me want hole in one. I need Bizarro.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. The Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Me want professional.